The Scope is filmed before a live studio audience.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show with a crisp aftertaste. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope,
we take a look back at the year that was, tribute is paid to a recent passing, and Jared fails to mention female when hiring a stripper for the New Year's Eve party.
And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Welcome, Scope faithful. This is episode 20 of The Scope. We've been doing this a long time. Adam just pointed out 40 weeks.
Wow.
All the doubters thought it would never happen. We're proving them wrong.
Including me.
Show after show. So,
that's
Adam,
what we do.
Get tough because we're going on a long, long time.
I like how you equate us to a religion with the whole faithful thing.
Yes.
It's a nice touch.
Well, you know, I know our fans are deeply, deeply into us, and we've got to appeal to that sensibility. This is a big show today, everybody. It's the Scope 2006 Year in Review. We'll be looking at a lot of great things and a lot of crappy things from the past 365 days. We're doing what everybody does who is in entertainment. We look back, and then we look forward.
We're in entertainment.
We are.
We are in entertainment.
That's a nice touch.
I would be not doing my guests any favors if I didn't introduce him right now. We have a special edition in the studio. It's our good friend Al, music critic, a music specialist, a Scope music specialist.
Thanks for having me back. I hope to contribute a little more than my last.
You're going to contribute a lot.
Episodes.
You're going to talk a lot. You're going to be boisterous.
I was in competition mode the last two episodes, and I was too busy looking at Shane's wife's new Hooters.
Wow, here we go. He's going right after
the new
them.
Franchise.
Yeah.
Alongside Al is the regulars. Number one, Adam. Hello, Adam, the doubter.
Hi.
Bring some energy tonight,
because yes.
I'm feeling like I'm a little slow, but I'm going to pick it up as it goes along.
Oh, okay. Come on.
Number two, Jared. Hello, Jared.
Applause
Once
for
again,
me.
Thank applause you. For you. Push the button. And I am Shane. I'm the third guy of the group. So, yeah. So the past 2 weeks has been the holiday
filled
time.
With holiday,
holiday
cheer.
Stuff, and I wanted to talk a little bit about that, as we did have our holiday show last time, and I wanted to find out the repercussions of the past 2 weeks. So let me throw it over to Adam. I know that you went to your girlfriend's place, or her parents' place, out of state.
Yep.
We didn't actually talk about this before, so I want to find out how it was for you.
That was good. Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about it at work, did we?
No, we didn't at all. So this will be new to me, everybody.
Yeah, that was fun.
Spontaneous.
Got a lot of gifts.
Where did you go?
Fargo.
Fargo, okay.
Yes. They have a new puppy.
Fargo does?
Yes.
It's good to know.
No, the lady's family does. They had a black lab for a long time, and she passed away like 3 or 4 weeks ago, and they weren't going to get anything new, but I guess they missed having some sort of, you know, canine presence in the house. So
I'm realizing as a sidebar that I don't have a button that goes,
Oh, well, you can just say
make
it.
A note to yourself.
I know. One thing I need to add for the new year.
Excellent.
Continue.
They went to the Humane Society and got a, German short hair black lab mix. And it's a fucking terror right now.
They're not scared of mutts in this house. They will.
No, I mean,
they'll get a mix.
And I mean, as far as a mutt goes, I mean, like, if you look at a black lab and you look at German short hair next to it, like, it's like the total combination of the two. So
mm-hmm.
It's still pretty easy to figure out what it is. It's basically German short hair with longer hair. And it's really sweet when it gets tired, but holy shit. I mean, it was just tearing the place up. But it tuckered itself out pretty regularly.
Did it hump legs? I don't like that. Makes me uncomfortable.
No. But he's super cuddly and stuff, you know, like a cat almost.
Well, that's nice. Now I want to ask you some serious questions. Just sitting here, I thought of them.
All right.
So this is going to be big. Number one, how serious is this relationship? I'm curious. I mean, you're seeing the parents. She doesn't listen, so you can say whatever you want to, as long as it's the truth.
Right. I could lie.
You could.
The whole relationship doesn't really exist. You told me to invent something to be more catchy to listeners. I don't know. It's, you know.
Try harder then.
I don't think meeting parents necessarily indicates seriousness of a relationship. I know some people make it out to be a big thing, but they're just, you know,
as you get older people. As you get older, you're not an 18-year-old anymore. Do you find that the relationships tend to, or maybe this relationship tends to move faster, or there is an element of speed and advancement that might not be there if you were 20 years old?
I mean, we're married. I mean, I told you guys that.
Oh, very quick. I didn't hear that part of the story.
No, it's... right. Should have made that out to be a big... no, I don't know. It's just, you know, normal kind of... Eh.
Who is it more serious for, her or
oh,
you?
God. I don't know. Probably.
I think he probably knows. Would you agree with that, Al?
Yeah. Yeah. You just can't say.
I would say it's equally serious.
That's absolutely incorrect.
Damn it.
Now, this next question might clarify this for everybody. When you go there, what are the sleeping arrangements?
Oh, we sleep in the same room.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? One on the floor, one on the...
No.
Adam
head to
in
toe.
The closet.
Futon.
Head to toe.
Couch that unfurls into a futon.
In a tic-tac-toe pattern.
Do you string a curtain from the ceiling like Marsha and Greg had to when they shared the attic?
No.
Or Tony and Angela in Who's the Boss?
When Angela, you mean.
That's what I said.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear you. When we went there for Thanksgiving, initially her mom said that... we would have, like, that she would have to sleep in her room, mm-hmm. and I'd get the basement. And I was like, I don't care, that's fine. And she was like, no, I'm not going to do that.
Wow, standing up for her man.
Right,
wow.
Well, yeah.
She's like, I want to hit that.
And so her mom was, her. I guess, like, she, like, you know, dug into her mom on it, and her mom was just like, I don't know, I just kind of think it's what I should be telling you to do. And mm-hmm. so, like, her mom didn't really care, and her dad doesn't care.
Keep the
so.
Snake in the cage.
Mm-hmm. We're not going to do it at her parents' house, so... Which was your next
you question.
You
believe that, Jared?
No, I don't.
You have a boo, but not an ah. That's
I've had the boo for a long time.
Yeah, we use that a lot.
I
we break
hadn't
it
thought
off.
Of it till now.
Oh, yeah.
I got that, too.
It's still there. So it's fairly serious if you're sleeping in the same room at the parents' house.
I don't know how it would be any less serious if we weren't, but sure.
Did you have any experiences like that, Al?
I actually had a very interesting experience with sleeping arrangements.
Please tell me.
Both my wife and I, our parents are pretty strict Catholics and all. And mm-hmm. the funny thing was, we were both in our early 20s. And when I stayed at my wife's house, we slept in different rooms, yet we were not expected to go to church every Sunday. But at my parents' house, we were expected to go to church. But we could, you know, shack up and down in my room at free will.
It'd be nice if you could just come to some sort of consensus with the family.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Speaking of church, so upon going up there this weekend, she asked me if I wanted to go to church with them, because they usually go to church only like twice a year. Like,
sure. You know, like a Christmas Eve.
Your creaster.
Christmas Eve.
Creaster.
And I was like, I didn't care. Like, she thought it would be like a delicate thing. I've been to church a number of times, you know, in my life. Like, we had to go a bunch before I got bar mitzvah.
Religion doesn't offend you in any...
No.
It doesn't matter if it's Jewish or if it's...
Besides, you can get a snack and a shot.
Exactly. Exactly.
Cracker.
So Sunday was New Year's Eve, right? So we spend like the first part of the day, or was it? Yeah, Sunday was, right? I am getting that right. We go to like a bowling alley, like just to kill some time.
There's
in the
church
afternoon.
At the bowling alley?
No. We go to the bowling
they
alley.
Do crazy
before,
things.
This is long before church.
Okay.
And we get home, and it was fun, but I don't know. We were all tired and stuff after that. And the dog. This was Saturday, though. Why am I thinking? Anyway.
Meth induced haze, probably.
No, Saturday's the day we drove there. So, yeah, it was Sunday. And. Killing the story now. With
I know. Come on, pick it up.
Anyway, turns out that no one really wants to go to church, but everyone just, it's kind of like the same thing with the sleeping arrangement where like the parents just feel like they should.
It's the right thing to do.
I'm like, and it's like, I don't care. I'm like, I'm the only person that's indifferent about it. Like mm-hmm. everyone else actually, you know, does not want to go. And so by the time we get back, like the dog's just kind of been like tearing the place up while we've been gone.
Yeah.
So like after they spend.
Clearly he's anti-religion.
Right. After they spend like 2 hours cleaning up, they're like, we can't leave this dog alone for 2 hours.
That's it. We can't go to church
right.
anymore.
we can't go to church. And I'm like,
maybe
right.
you should have stayed.
Satan's
exactly.
Dog.
I should have volunteered to stay.
Getting good with the family.
One last thing, Adam, before we move on to other holiday stories. What gifts did you exchange with your girl, and what did she give you?
So she gave me
That's another indicator of how serious it is.
Oh, well, then you're going to think it's not very serious.
She gave you
she gave me
deodorant.
A deck of playing cards that she had ordered online that have a picture of me. I don't know if you've ever seen this picture.
Wow.
But it's the one where I'm making this face. I'll show them to you.
Okay. Yeah, but it's a personalized gift, yeah. and she's giving you a gift.
They're in my backpack.
In an area that you enjoy. Yes. So.
Like yes. I say about everything, we'll get a picture of it and post it on the internet, and they never do.
They're amazingly... they're really fun.
Text only on our side.
Yep. And she also got me a really great gift, actually. No, you don't do that at Christmas. That's more of a first
maybe
week.
Maybe your Christmas.
Anniversary.
First week in the relationship kind of gift.
Yeah.
No,
spice it up.
She got me and her a behind the scenes tour of the Minnesota Zoo.
You
like work with a zookeeper or whatever their actual name is, and you get to actually like help take care of animals,
clean up poop.
Exactly.
Nothing like getting yourself a gift,
like an episode of Dirty Jobs.
Yeah. I got her a bowling ball, so it was pretty sweet.
That fits your hand.
Did it say Homer on it?
So that's what I got.
Did you actually get her a bowling ball?
No.
What did you get her?
Oh, I got her
bowling lessons.
Mine were
bowling gloves.
Mine were far less personal. I got her a Bundt cake to cook me.
I see what the trend in this relationship.
Right. Wow. For what it's worth, it's a s'more, a Bundt cake, and we've had this weird affection for s'mores for a long time. Even going as far as going to Target one day.
Are you talking about you and me or
no.
or her?
No.
Oh. I thought we shared that bond too, but I guess not.
It's just creepy now.
But so it's a personal gift of something
that
you
else,
share.
What else, please?
Doesn't have, you don't have to spend
wow
a ton of money.
Wow something.
No, none of it's wow worthy, so I'm going to stop it.
I bet you it's very wow worthy.
Was it
not
a World of Warcraft subscription?
Yes. I got her a two-month game card for World of Warcraft.
Well, that's thoughtful.
Well, clearly Adam's holding out on us, so... I don't really know what to make of this
relationship. Lingerie. I'm holding out on you. We just talked about it for like 15 minutes.
I want to know all the gifts. That's the problem. Was it lingerie? Just tell.
No.
First, I don't want to knock the bowling ball. I bought my wife a bowling ball 2 years ago for Christmas.
That's awesome.
Does she
like to bowl?
Yeah, but still, I think it was the worst choice I ever made in my life.
Oh. Did you think it was going to be funny and she didn't?
I don't know.
No, the worst decision you could make to give your wife for Christmas would be what
cleaner.
My grandfather would do to my grandmother.
Vacuum.
Get her new dish towels.
Vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, something cleaning related.
Not good.
He was a very practical fellow.
Let's go around the room. Al, do you have any holiday things of note to mention?
I don't know. Got some good gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Bowling
season
ball?
One of Scrubs.
Nice.
We're big fans of Scrubs here at the school.
I'm like Jared. I think I'm a late... discover of the show, and now I'm starting.
You get
the beginning. Yep.
Al and I were at the same post Christmas party. It was a big family. His in-laws throw one every year, so we go and hang out. And normally we get to stay a late time because that's what you do at this party. But with a kid, we can't. So pretty much all of the goodness is packed into a few hour span. And this year we got there a little later, so we didn't get to hang out as much, but we did do a little Wii action, Nintendo Wii, which was a giant hit.
Maybe next year you can get a Wii at your gal's place and you can go bowling in the living room.
Yeah.
Bowling, I think that Wii Sports is going to be so old by next Christmas.
Maybe we'll have a Wii Sports too.
By Wii Sports, I mean our relationship.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
We also broke out the Jones Soda Holiday Sampler Pack and pretty much grossed out everybody there. This is the soda.
Oh, the turkey flavored one?
This year the flavors were turkey and gravy, peas,
ooh,
dinner roll.
Oh, nice. Did that taste good?
It tasted like a butter flavor with other grossness.
Like butterscotch?
Yeah, that went over like a fart in church, I think.
Yeah, that wasn't any good. And then they had sweet potato, which was all right. And then the kicker was the antacid soda, which tasted exactly like Pepto-Bismol, except carbonated. It was very strange.
I would say that was my second favorite one.
Yeah. Sam. I mean, it was...
Was the turkey and gravy good?
It didn't really... I didn't really taste like anything, you know?
You think, like, one year they'll just release all the flavors they've done? You can just have, like, a whole big feast?
It'd be pretty expensive, but...
It'd be kind of fun.
See, because Jelly Belly does, they are amazing with the way they do flavors.
Yeah.
Because, they do like the Harry Potter ones and they have like grass and dirt ones.
Are those sweet or do they actually taste like grass and dirt?
The grass ones taste, okay. I mean, their titles are exactly what they taste like. I have no idea how, obviously
Different with like a solid food rather than a liquid beverage.
Well, who do they get to test that crap?
Well, I mean, actually, I saw
the best person with the best job ever.
I saw episode of Unwrapped where they showed how they did that soda, and they literally...
What'd Mark Summers say?
Mark's... He was real quiet during this one.
The
but
double, it, was he the Double Dare guy?
Yeah, he hosts that show. But pretty much what they do is they have these food scientists. Jones Soda goes to this consulting firm, and they get these guys in white lab coats, or at least that's what they were wearing for the bit. And they have this they have this room, which is nothing but, you know, 20-foot tall ceilings full of little brown bottles of flavoring. And they go in and they construct this soda pop out of pretty much any flavoring that goes into any sort of food.
Sure.
And, you know, sometimes they do a better job than others. I think that having a savory soda pop versus a sweet soda pop is, you know, adds extra challenge. But so there you go.
Define savory.
Savory is not sweet. It'd be like a salty.
Okay.
It's a Food Network term, I believe, terminology.
I need to watch more, apparently.
There you go. Jared, do you have any holiday things you want to mention?
The only exciting thing is I won the family poker game.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
It was $2 buy-in, so I walked away with $8. It was pretty exciting. My brother, who was heads
right
up
towards
with,
the mortgage.
My brother, who I was heads up with, took second place and had $4. So there you go. That was my big thing.
I took second in the one that we had, which quickly dissolved. Like, all five of us were playing is her parents and the brother. And it was like while they were cooking dinner. So the dad went out like pretty early as soon as I figured out how he plays. I knocked him out, and then the mom went to go cook dinner, like finished cooking, and so it quickly went down to just me and the brother and heads up.
I lost. There wasn't a lot of challenge. I mean, it was for my brother and I to be the last two was pretty much a foregone conclusion.
It had to be that.
Yeah, because my sister, I just scared her away with a giant bed on the river, and she was gone. She folded, and I took her money.
Like girls,
we need to have
a
scope show tournament.
We do
someday.
I would like that very much.
Poker chips, we can play tomorrow.
There we go.
We should
at our big New Year's Eve party.
The only other story that I just remembered. Girlfriend's father apparently likes Leno more than Letterman.
Uh-oh.
And we almost got into it over that.
Really? What's his argument for Leno? I'd like to hear
that he's funnier than Letterman.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he's a funny guy.
Yeah. This happened after he opened a gift, and
did you see this?
The Johnny Carson, you know, greatest blah, blah, blah. And he was like, oh, Carson is the best. And I was like, he's like, yep. He's like, oh, Leno, why can't Leno be as good as him? And I'm like, at least there's Letterman. He's like, no, he's better than Letterman.
Wow.
He just kind of blindly continues to watch The Tonight Show, hoping Carson will make a comeback.
Like, I've told this before, but like a year ago, David Spade was on Leno. So I was like, oh, I'm going to watch Leno because I really like David Spade. And
that's probably
number
one.
it was awful. I mean, like, just like the beginning bit, you know, like where it happened to be one where like it was like worst toys of the year.
Yeah.
And it was just like shitty.
And it's like a Cabbage Patch Kid, but with a real cabbage head. I mean, that's his joke.
It was about 15 puns in a row. And his opening monologue is like
puns,
half
Jared.
An hour
how you feel
long.
About that?
Exactly. The other thing is while we were all watching TV, like a commercial came on that I made fun of, only to then find out that it was for the dad's company, so or not him directly, but like an affiliate. But I mean,
wow,
I know.
So things going down quickly.
I mean, he laughed. He thought it was funny. He was like, "It is a bad commercial." But
I hate you anyway. I'm gonna take you out back and put you in the wood chipper.
Yeah.
Well, my only holiday story beyond the Al and Shane party is my continuing religious ambiguity. As all of our listeners know, people often confuse me for a Jew, and it happened again.
If you've never seen Shane, imagine the most Jewish-looking person ever, and then multiply it times 10.
Thank you. I mean, and how do you respond to that? I mean, do I get angry at that? I don't know.
Play Hava Nagila during this one, by the way.
Do you have that button?
I don't have Hava Nagila ready to
write
go.
That down for 2007.
Yeah, always have Hava Nagila on tap.
So I am walking outside with my daughter and my wife. I think it's Christmas Eve, and we're going over to my parents' place. And our neighbors are out there, and our neighbors are those type of people that literally will have 5 trillion lights on their house.
Yeah.
And we have a very small lot, you know, and their lot is the same. So it's literally light upon light upon light. And they also have a lot of sort of junky type, you know, things where you have like the plastic snowman, they put a light bulb in there. They have a lot of that kind of stuff.
They're not listening right now?
I hope not. And, you know, I mean, more power to them. They enjoy it, but I guess I do it a little differently. But they were out there adjusting that stuff, or at least the wife of the neighborhood couple over there is out there adjusting it. And she sees me, and she goes, "Hey, Shane, Merry Christmas or Happy Hanukkah." That's what she said to me. Thank you.
Not sure which way to go.
Not
with you.
Sure.
I'm hoping you didn't even answer.
No,
that, right?
I said thanks. I mean, I don't really know how to respond to that. And as Adam pointed out to me earlier in the week, it may not mean anything, as I told in the story. But let's pretend like it does.
Well,
but
you could have just.
I mean, why would you say that to me? I don't. I mean, and here's the kicker: the literally like 2 hours before, I had just gone over to her house and given her our family Christmas card.
But yeah,
Merry Christmas is what it said on.
Maybe she thought that was like. Like Harry makes you be Christian.
Maybe, but I mean that's a bigger assumption than
I know.
You could have just said we celebrate Christmas.
Yeah, but I mean,
like 98% of the country.
Yeah.
But it'd be more fun, I guess, to let them just sit and
Oh, wonder. I trust me, I get off on this kind of stuff where
Whoa.
No, get off on it. But I enjoy the comedic stuff that comes out of it. So other than that, my Christmas is great. I had a great time with my both families and nothing of note. To pass on, so yeah. So everybody. Enough.
I know we don't have time for it, but was our last show before our company party or after? Did we already talk about it?
It was right. Well, it was the day before.
It was the day before. Okay. Yes.
Anything that?
Oh yeah, we had a big company party, and our company does a pretty good job of putting on a big to do. This was no different. I mean, the booze was flowing freely. Everybody was hammered.
I could not free drinks. I could not get. Drunk for the life of me.
I was toasted within 10 minutes of getting there. I mean, they were shoveling champagne at me like you wouldn't believe, and I was like,
I'm usually
I need
a lightweight.
To slow down.
And I think I had we were there for about 6 hours, right? Like 5 hours.
You were maybe.
We got there at 6:37.
Yeah.
Okay. And yeah, I was down on them pretty regularly, and I think I was drunk for like 5 minutes of the entire thing when I threw out the double guns.
The 1-2 punch.
Yeah, it was a good time. I mean, they always pick a pretty decent venue, and
I like this one more than last year.
Yeah, I mean, they had a great band who was a cover band, but they also played their own music here and there, and it was kind of Weezer-ish, you know, sort of nerd rock. I guess would be the.
I don't think it's really nerd rock, but
what do you think it was?
Then? I don't know, mediocre rock.
But I mean, I think they did a good job covering songs.
They did.
They had the people there that could perform and they could sing and. You know, they broke out the Hall & Oates right away, which is not easy to sing Hall & Oates, and
I
they did a great job on that. So,
and I just
Kubla Khan was the name of the band.
I felt bad for them, but this is how it always happens. Google. But like when they would play their own music, no one was dancing to it, and then they'd start.
they play Super Freak, and then everybody's out there
exactly. So because the same thing happened a few years ago when I went to go see who's the embarrassing one from the Jackson 5? Not Michael.
Tito.
When I went to go see Tito Jackson.
There you go.
All of them? Okay. When I went to go see Tito Jackson at Famous Dave's in Uptown, of all places, he played his own music and no one danced to it. And the last 30 minutes was like a 30-minute medley of Jackson 5 songs. And the minute he hits like the first note of ABC, people rush the stage and everyone starts dancing. I felt really bad because it's like he has
I think they probably know that, these artists. So, yeah. Well, speaking of drinking, I want to give a little shout-out to a special individual out there that is supplying us with alcohol for the evening.
Oh, yeah.
That would be Jared's boss, Kevin, is... You may remember from a few shows ago, he sent...
He's a little late, sorry. I've been drinking a little late on the gun there.
He sent in an email saying that he appreciates us better when we've had a few spirits and cocktails. We put on a better show. So here we are.
This time he supplied it for us.
Yep, absolutely. And Kevin, I want to give a close circuit to you. Jared works very hard, and if you can swing it, he deserves a raise.
I don't know if that'll work, but all right. Thanks anyway.
Thank you, Kevin. Anyway, we've got a lot of show. I mean, this could be the most important Scope show ever, guys. I mean, it is episode 20. That's important in itself.
At the very least, it'll be the last one we do this year.
Yes. As I mentioned at the top of the show.
We might do an impromptu show tomorrow night, though.
Yeah, you never know.
It'll be after midnight. It'll be January 1st, at least in Central Time Zone.
That's right. The Scope 2006 year in review, everybody. As I said, we'll pick some of the highlights.
You're like laboring over. What's the deal there?
I don't know. The highlights and lowlights of the past 365 days. With our own special twist. Al is going to be here to offer up his opinion of the biggest hits and misses in terms of music of 2006.
Not only is he going to be here, he's actually
here. He's here. He's right here. He's talking. He's with us. Beyond that, we have the usual Under the Scope. A little different format this time around.
Oh, yeah.
No reviews since the entire show is a review. But we will be covering news and all the stuff that's coming soon in 2007. So everybody, please get ready. This is the Scope. Did I not push the start button? Son of a bitch, my time's off.
Who cares?
Anyway,
the wheels are coming off.
This is a Scope episode 20. Get ready for the year in review.
You've got questions. Tony's got answers. It's time for Ask Tony. Dear Tony,
I'm trying to lose some weight before an upcoming convention so I can fit into my Aquaman costume. Do you have any diet and exercise tips? Signed, Portly in Pittsburgh.
Dear Portly, I'm not sure what an Aquaman is, but it sounds slightly queer. That being said, Tony Partington loves all kinds, including these fruity Aquamen. So stay away from the ding-dongs and the monster burgers, Tubby. And for maximum impact, try Billy Blank's Taibo 2006 Boot Camp Elite DVD, along with yoga lattes. It helps sculpt my body into perfection. We're talking museum quality, baby. Thanks for writing, Lardo. Keep on listening to The Scope.
If you have a question you'd like to ask Tony, send your question.
Wow, are you terrible? Why don't you leave the voiceover work to the professionals, pal? Don't you have some girls to not ask out? If you would like me, Tony Partington, to impose my advice on you and set you on a path to glory, send your tales of woe and misery to AskTony@thescopeshow.com. I promise not to be too destructive, but let's face it, the truth hurts. And it hurts some of you more than others. Now, back to The Scope.
Hey, everybody. This is The Scope 2006 Year in Review. As you know, we pride ourselves in casting a critical eye towards every aspect of geek and popular culture. So Adam, Jared, and I are extremely excited to present to you this little segment. We're going to look back at 2006 and declare the best and worst of the past 365 days. Of course, we wouldn't look back without putting a bit of the scope spin on things. Well, that may be enough for a regular boring piece of crap podcast. It isn't enough for the scope. To make this year in review just a little bit better, we've invited Scope music aficionado Al into the studio to take a look at the musical hits and misses of 06. So strap in, kiddies, it's going to be a hell of a ride. So enough of this unnaturally sounding prefab script. Let's move on to the first category. Jared, sound effects? Category 1, best public display of genitalia. I will read the two runner-ups, and then we'll have some big explosion excitement for the winner. Are you guys ready?
I believe the correct phrasing is runners-up.
Runners-up.
Like passers-by.
Runners-up number one. Jackass 2. Electric Boogaloo. I just saw this movie a couple days ago, and there was more male nudity in this movie than I have seen in a long, long time.
More than the first?
More than the first, and pretty much everyone gets naked.
Anything up a rectum this time?
Yes. Yes, there is a interesting bit where they put Bam Margera on the top of one of those things you'd find at a carnival, you know, where they have the bell.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you swing the big hammer and knock
big the strongman thing
and knock the little.
I don't like that you're ruining you hit it the for thing, me.
Yeah,
here,
yeah. I'll, this is the only.
So you hit it and it goes to the top. Yes. And it sounds like this.
So so they put Bam at the top, and then instead of having a little metal ball, they put a dildo there.
Ah!
And then they took his pants off and swung away. I won't tell you the results, but it is something.
You want to talk?
Am I on?
Yeah, oh. Now you're on.
You're on, please, okay. Al. Do you have something to say, or are you just pointing at Jared?
No, his mic was off. Sorry.
Okay. Runners-up number two, Brittany and Lindsay. Yes.
Ooh.
There was probably five or six different pictures of these girls with their hoo-has floating out everywhere.
Hoo-ha.
Or their...
Yeah.
Their lady garden as...
we'll go with Vagine.
Vagine?
The Vagine.
The Vagine. What do you guys think of that? Women not wearing underpants getting out of limos.
I didn't.
Good or
I
bad?
Never even bothered to look for the pictures.
Yeah, I never saw them.
I think... I saw them. I saw Britney's. Less than impressive.
Yeah. You could see her scar.
Oh.
In one of them. At least one of them.
Well, that's sexy.
It's vertical, which is interesting. Most times...
Not hot.
They're horizontal, but...
Vertical scars, not hot.
Yeah.
No, not in the least.
So both of those runners-up, fantastic competitors for best public display of genitalia, but we do have a winner. Borat and his fat producer from Borat the Movie, something, 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 something,
very
something.
Nice.
Very nice. Gentlemen, we've all seen that movie. We've all seen the naked wrestling match. Any comments? Jared.
I was dumbfounded. I couldn't believe it. It just kept going on and on. It was spectacular, I suppose is the word.
I thought the extended length of that and made it for a more funny, uncomfortable moment.
Yeah.
It was perfect.
I pity the rotoscope artist that had to put that on there.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, you expect to go 30 seconds at the most, like, in the room. But then it's in the hallway, and you're like, okay, it's almost done. And then they're in the elevator. And you're like, oh, it's almost done. And then they're in the conference room. and then they're fighting on the stage of the conference room. And then they're being dragged out of the conference room. Like, it's just, it's like, I think, four minutes and 38 seconds, I think, is how long it is. And I swear, it feels like it's, like, 20 minutes.
Do you think the unrated or the director's cut that'll come on the DVD will even be longer?
God, I hope so.
Will they remove the
black bar?
Is it funnier with black bar?
Yes.
I think it is. I think that has to stay.
It's like the most recent SNL with Justin Timberlake with the dick in the box.
Yeah. Yes.
It's much funnier with them bleeping out dick.
Yeah. That's why the Osbournes was funny, because they bleeped out the swear words.
Or Adam Sandler's Ode to My Car. Not as funny on the CD as it is on the radio with all the horn beeps and stuff like that.
Yes.
Because the naughty needs to be censored, and then everyone can laugh.
Yep.
Category number two. Best imitation of waking from a coma. This is a special category here at The Scope because we couldn't agree on one. So it's going to be a tie, and we will have a roundtable conversation on the three picks for best.
Yeah.
So I will start. Just give me the explosion, Jared, because I love it.
You want the explosion now?
Yep. Do it. We'll do it three times. The OC Season 4. Do it again.
Hold on. It's going to play all the way through. Oh. And I can loop it around. What the hell?
Nintendo. And the number three. Rocky Balboa. So let's go around the room and let's talk a little bit about why all these three topics are deserving of this award. We'll start with Al.
Well, I guess Nintendo hasn't been relevant for a little while. OC, I really don't care about. So, and Rocky Balboa, it's funny. Everyone's review of it is, well, it's not as bad as you thought it would be.
That's exactly what I said, too.
Adam, any opinion on any of these things?
I said Nintendo. You could argue that they've been relevant, just not as relevant, especially with the DS being apparently the
breakout hit of the world.
Well, and they've always owned the handheld market.
Right. Yep. And I mean, it's like the fastest selling console of all time, you know, handheld or not.
It hasn't been innovating.
Well, you can argue that too. But yeah. I still say Nintendo because it's, you know, they've generally been in something of a, you know, mass market slumber.
Mm-hmm.
And with the Wii, it's just exploded. And it's
Isn't it strange how at the beginning of the holiday season, the thought was the Wii would be fairly easy to find and the PlayStation 3 would be extremely difficult. Yeah. Now what I'm reading on incidental reports on the internet is that you can pretty much find the PlayStation 3 with some effort.
You can just walk into a store on the 22nd of December and find a whole stack of them.
Like you did.
Yeah,
but the Wii,
middle of the day.
You can't find it anywhere. Good luck finding
Never
it.
Never seen one in a store.
It's, right. Yeah, me either.
Not necessarily Nintendo's fault, as the opposite, you know, could be true for Sony being, you know, under production. And that's just, they have even less of a demand. That's, I think that demand kind of jumped a bunch due to, like, word of mouth. And, you know, people just playing, like, just, you know, parents and grandparents playing.
Yep.
You know, playing it at parties with, you know, their family, and then thinking hey, this would be a fun thing to buy.
Is this an official Scope Show rip on Sony then?
This is number one rip. Okay. There will be a few more.
Yeah.
I think it'll be interesting, and we might want to make a note of this for the 2007 show. I'm thinking ahead. We need to pick the best video game company of 2007 because I think that it'll be an interesting run as we go on. Jared, you liked Rocky Balboa as the winner.
I picked that mainly because I don't watch the OC, so I can't comment on whether or not it's back from a coma. And I didn't agree that Nintendo was in a coma ever. So I guess I kind of defaulted to Rocky.
Do you think that Rocky's success will pave the way for a blockbuster Rambo sequel that's coming out?
Are they doing another?
They are doing a sequel, yes. Oh!
Goodness.
Al not happy with it.
Clearly upset. Is Stallone in the starring
role? Yes, he is. He might even be writing this one. Who knows?
I think that's a mistake. I think Rocky is something he could have pulled off.
Rambo's
coming
played.
Back as Rambo.
But what if he goes to catch Osama bin Laden?
Maybe. Go see it. I'd be up for that.
Sure.
I picked the OC Season 4, and as a lot of our listeners know, I've talked about it a lot. The only thing I want to say about it is that in a lot of respects, I think people thought the OC would be done after this year. Adam, you can agree with me or disagree. You are an OC
Misha
watcher.
Barton left?
She left, and they just figured this. They would just kind of ride it out. The Fox networks weren't really supporting the show. I think they only gave it 18 episodes this year, so that was a big question. But they brought it back. They kind of retooled. And I think they're doing the show better than they have in the past, too. And it could be better than the first season.
Wow.
What do you think of that, Adam?
I don't agree that it's that good right now. I agree that it's better than season three because that was just abysmal. I don't know.
Season two was terrible, too.
I didn't think it was as bad as everyone else made it out to be. No. It definitely wasn't as good as season one. I remember because I didn't start watching it until like the end of season two is when I started watching season one. And I was like, this is going to be some stupid melodrama, you know, 90210 type shit. And it wasn't. It was, you know, genuinely snarky and funny and self-referential, especially like, you know, with the whatever that show is.
They have a show within a show that they talk about. That's like the OC within the OC.
Right.
The interesting thing about season one is they focused mostly on the relationships between the four main characters. Season two, they started getting into
the parents.
Well, not even the parents, but they would bring in new characters, you know, like the main character's best friend or somebody that moves into the school who is a psycho and completely throws off the balance. This year, they've gone back to the formula where we're not going to deal with crazy boyfriends that are only going to be on the show for five episodes. They're dealing with the main characters.
I disagree with what the big change is. I would say if you went back to season one and looked at how much they actually concentrated on Misha Barton's character, you'd see it was actually a smaller significance. And as season two, they concentrated more, and then season three was all about her.
So she was the weak link.
I you know, I've always disliked her.
It's like seconds.
And now it's more about Seth and Sandy, and those are the two best characters on the show.
You heard it.
Yeah.
Best characters. Let's move on to the next topic. I'm going to skip around a little bit because there's one here that I love. So it's got to wait. Best TV show Jared didn't get to finish because of the internet police came knocking.
They did. Sort of.
Runners up number one, Deadwood season three. And we only have one runner up, so the winner is Entourage season three.
Yes.
Jared, tell us your story of the battle against hypocrisy.
Well, since I'm only a basic cable subscriber, I don't have the HBO. So over the summer, as they were running Deadwood and Entourage, I wanted to partake and I wanted to enjoy the show as my peers do.
And that's all you have to say. You don't need to say anything more.
Well, I can tell the story.
Okay.
So as
don't
many
admit
people
to anything.
Do, so as many people do, I hit the old BitTorrent and downloaded the episodes.
Or until, someone other.
Until one day.
Someone on his wireless
someone
network.
Someone on your wireless network.
Somebody on my network did. So one day I get an email from my ISP saying HBO has contacted us and they say you have been downloading, or somebody at your residence at this IP address has been downloading Entourage and Deadwood. We just wanted to let you know that they're looking into this, blah, 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 blah. So, long story short, I stopped downloading it. So I never got to finish either Entourage Season 3 or Deadwood Season 3. I guess I'm waiting for the DVDs.
And we all helped you out on this one, Entourage. Oh. We all picked on that. Al, you're chomping at the bit to say something.
No, don't spoil it for me.
Okay, no, I'm not going to. We won't talk specifically about it. We'll just talk
I'm a DVD watcher.
We will talk about why Entourage is such a good show. Adam, please.
It's good because they show boobs.
Jared, why is Entourage a good show?
Because Jeremy Piven's awesome. I don't know, he's not dead. He's not overplayed. I like him.
I think
just tight writing and good acting, and it's always entertaining.
It's a unique concept dealing with famous people in Hollywood, but they're hangers-on. But I also think that they represent men in a more unique role than they often are. You know, I mean, they are kind of dogs, and they like to bang chicks, but at the same time, they're pretty loyal to each other, and at the end of the day, they will do whatever they have to for each other. That's why the show is good.
I like it because I enjoy my share of cerebral shows, and this one I can just turn the brain off and watch it and enjoy it. Not to slam it like it's not smart at all, but
thank you, Alita Stahl, for speaking up on that.
And
wow.
And Johnny Drama is one of the best characters.
Oh yeah, Drama's awesome.
Al, you're absolutely right.
See you guys in 2007.
Well, he's out here taking off his headphones. Let's move on to my favorite title for a topic category for 2006. Best Race War. Runners-up number one.
Talladega Nights.
Wow.
Mel Gibson hates the Jews but likes the sugar tits. Anybody comments on that?
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
So I talked
kept
to my,
them in the headlines.
I was talking to my mom this week, and we always talk about movies because her and her husband are like huge. It's I say her husband because it's not my dad. It's not my brother's dad. It's my mom's. You know,
the same problems. Thing about my mom's husband.
Right.
My dad's dead, so there you go.
Oh, okay. It's better.
I don't know if it is. I'm not sure if it is, but
I mean, at least we can laugh about
slightly
it.
Slightly
right?
Uncomfortable. Slightly. It's like a woolly sweater.
So, Right. So I'm talking to her about it, about different movies that we've seen and everything. And I ask her if she's seen Apocalypto. And she says, no, I won't see that. I haven't forgiven Mel, and I don't think I will. And I'm just sitting there like dumbfounded.
Is that for his comments or for his crazy hairline?
His comments.
Okay.
And I'm just like, are you kidding me? Like, I never thought of it. Like, I get it. You know, I get why. But it's just like not my mom, you know, because it's like. And then, so like before I could even ask her, she's like, I mean, I've forgiven Michael Richards. And I'm like, so.
Did she call him? Oh, we can't talk about that because that. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Weird.
We're ruining the topic, but she's forgiven him.
Right. And I was like, oh, well, if you've forgiven him. You know, I was annoyed. Like, So, and she actually is a Jewy, so.
Can I ask this question? I mean, when it comes to people out there producing entertainment for us, the commoners, if you will. I mean, is it accepted that a lot of people out there are racist, that they are chauvinists, that they are, you know, there are people out there that hate Jews, and since we don't know about it, you just kind of let it slide, or does that taint?
I think there's a difference between openly racist and people that just have negative preconceived notions of people.
Okay.
And I think that I would say a majority of people do have that, especially like in areas... You know, like Minnesota.
Yeah, like me and the Swedes. I hate them.
Where, I mean, there's really like no black people.
One quarter of me hates you.
So I just think people come up with their own ideas.
Yeah.
And, you know, like they might be like, you know, openly nice to everyone. But I think, you know, they do everything from like grip their purse tighter when they're
sure,
in the
cross the street.
Stuff like that.
Well, thank you for making it serious.
Whoops.
And me helping. No, that's good. Okay, best race war, runners up number two. Survivor, the Cook Islands. As everyone knows, this year they divided tribes by race. And at the end of the day, the last three players in the game were not from any of the white tribes, surprising a lot of people. So white people, not as good as others?
Apparently that's the case.
I think that's a lesson we've learned.
Yeah.
Or of clearly. Those...
It was the two Asian people and a Hispanic
person.
They rig
that show. They rig it. They get the results they want.
Yeah, they absolutely it.
Or of those 16 people, that just happened to happen.
It just happened. And the interesting thing about Survivor this year, probably one of the best seasons they've had in a long time.
Yeah.
And I think maybe it was partially better because of the fact they had a more diverse cast.
How many challenges required them to stand on something for a couple days?
There was two challenges. Okay.
I saw the show as 16 individuals.
Al, always enlightened.
Al's colorblind.
I saw four teams, but I couldn't tell what they were.
No.
Yeah.
You just got to look at the eyes, Al, and that tells everything.
Wow.
And the winner for best race war... Kramer hates Afro-Americans.
No way.
Kramer doesn't.
Oh, yes, it's Kramer.
It's Kramer.
That Kramer. You know, he
I
ever
hate
since,
you, Kramer.
Ever since he got off of Seinfeld, he's always going
Jesse
crazy.
Did Jesse call him Kramer?
Yeah. It's terrible.
So, I mean, I
Kramer.
So let's just go around the room. I'm going to ask one question. We'll move on to the next topic. Is Michael Richards racist? Jared.
Didn't we already talk about this?
Did we?
I thought, well, like when it first happened.
No, we've got distance and perspective on it. Okay. After all is said and done, is he a racist?
I say yes. I know he was going for shock value, but you got to believe it.
Does he know he's a racist, or does he like an ignorant racist?
I think he's an ignorant racist.
Al.
I agree with Jared.
Adam.
No, he's not a racist.
What is he then?
He's just dumb. And
he's a dumb, prejudiced mother.
I don't even know if he's prejudiced. Paul Mooney even says he's not racist. So it's like, you heard that on the Stern interview, right? It's just like, I think he's crazy.
Dumb.
He didn't realize that he lost the crowd. And if he hadn't lost the crowd, if it had been funny, it wouldn't have been news. So,
and since I agree with Adam 100% in this case, and since Adam and my people have been persecuted for years, we know better than everyone else.
Well, there you go.
Let's move on to the next category, Jared. Biggest hype, biggest letdown, runners up number one, Snakes on a Plane.
Yeah. That was not a good movie. And I mean, I feel like we're being redundant because like it's in every single worst of list right now. So
I wouldn't even say it was like the worst movie ever made. But there needed to be something that, you know, it was campy, but not campy enough.
Well, it was like benign.
That's
So it was like on a scale of like negative 10 to positive 10. Like it should have been closer to negative 10. Mm-hmm. Instead, it was like a zero. And it's just like, that's boring.
Right in the middle.
And then you add the hype to it. And it's just like, that's completely unnecessary.
You know, there were elements of that movie that just hit the perfect notes, you know, like the fact that it was parodying these 80s action type movies.
Sure, sure.
You know, the low budget stuff that you would have watched on cable on HBO in 1987. They hit that pretty well, but boy, the actual meat of the movie just did not give you anything. And Adam is absolutely right. It was benign. It didn't make me feel anything.
No.
I wanted to like the movie. I went in thinking this is going to be something that a guy like me, a nerd, can appreciate. But boy, it just did not pay off. It was really disappointing.
It needed to be completely over the top, and it wasn't there.
The best thing about that movie was this website that was created that allowed you to input a person's phone number and then choose a bunch of different things, and then
that was
Samuel
the best
L.
thing.
Jackson would call the person and leave like a customized message.
And thank you, Adam, for setting that up for me, because Sam Jackson did call my work phone number. And I thought
what a guy!
Was it
better than Tremors?
No, Tremors was better.
I liked Tremors too.
I watch it every time I see it.
Tremors had a better cast.
Michael Gross.
Yeah, Michael Gross. Yep. I mean, it was a good movie. So, what do you want to do? You know, and it was a product of the time as well. Snakes in a Plane is maybe if Snakes in a Plane would have come out in 1986, it would have been better. Who knows?
I just realized something.
Yeah,
Tremors is Snakes on a Plane, a different kind of
snakes
plane.
In the ground,
and they're much
snakes
bigger.
In an underground plane.
Yes.
In rock.
Wow.
Now they need a sequel.
I just blew everyone's mind.
What are they on for Tremors? About 4 or 5?
Yeah. And Kevin Bacon hit the road after number one. So there you go. Biggest hype, biggest letdown. Runner-ups, runners-up number 2. Kid Rock and Pam Anderson marriage. A lot of hype, but biggest letdown. It lasted for...
Lots of marriages.
It lasted for 6 months, I believe.
Did they have like 4 weddings or something?
Yeah.
Did they have to get divorced in every country?
I think so.
It's annoying.
I mean, I don't really know what to say about it except... Pam should never get married.
No.
Ever. I mean, that's pretty much what I say. And same with Kid Rock. You're a rock star. Bang your chicks.
Do you think he had hepatitis B? So like he was like, eh, why not? It's not like I'm going to get more hepatitis B.
I don't know how that works. So
I'm not going to get more.
No.
They can just screw everyone with hepatitis B.
Exactly.
Right,
pretty
yeah.
much their own little
yeah.
group.
Jared, I say we name the winner of this category. And our continuing desire to slam everything Sony, PlayStation 3 wins this one. Adam, please talk about it.
I'm very happy that we chose this. I mean, in terms of it being a bad system, that might not be the case. I'm sure that...
Verdict is out, I would say.
What I've seen of gameplay looks phenomenal.
Right.
Looks phenomenal.
Yeah. But still not on par with 360 overall. I would say that.
I don't know. There's some stuff that looks pretty spectacular. The boxing game, I don't know if it's Fight Night or not, but it looks pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean,
head-to-head reviews on IGN say that 360 looks better. What do you think of that?
You know I don't read.
I mean, here's the thing. Back when it was Super Nintendo and...
Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
TurboGrafx.
Genesis does what Nintendo don't,
no,
Adam.
Atari Lynx.
At the exact same time, the Neo Geo was out, and no one bought it because it was incredibly expensive. And
$1 million.
Right. Games were $100 a piece. And, I mean,
they were the size of VCR tapes.
Exactly. It might just be another Neo Geo. There's
then there was the 3DO that was supposed to be fantastic, and that one don't work.
Very mediocre.
And that was like $800 when it came out.
The Atari Jaguar.
The Jaguar.
came out as well. Another fiasco. So we'll have to see. I think we'll have to look back at this in a year.
Right. I think,
and we'll look back at it every 2 weeks, like we do with every show. But
for me, I think the moment this became a letdown was when they announced the price at $500 and $600.
Yep.
I think
that's ridiculous.
A lot of people are like that.
I think if they could have got that system out at $500
for the top end,
and even that's a little bit more expensive. I think that then you start a guy like me who's always on the fence. That's then I start thinking. Hey, maybe I might want to get that.
I still don't think so.
But $400 with the 360 was something that I was like, I got to get this.
Mentally thinking of it, I'm going to buy a video game system. Am I going to spend half of $1,000? Because that's what $500 is. That's what it
says
to me.
It's like half of our house payment.
Yeah,
that's
what it is. Yeah, I could buy a PS3 or I could make 2 car payments.
Yep.
I'll pay for the car, I think.
Right. Thank you.
And so even though $400, the difference between $400 and $500 is only $100, it just seems much less. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah.
So I think that Sony is going to have a really hard time coming back from it at this point. I mean, I'm sure in the end they'll at least finish second or close to second.
Yeah.
But, you know, even with Nintendo coming, if Nintendo comes in second or third, they're going to be way more profitable if they're already making a profit on the systems being sold now. So
absolutely correct. Very, very good analysis, Adam.
There we go.
Al, quickly, you haven't talked a lot. You don't own a Xbox because that's my fault.
Yeah, I have a PS1. And I hate it because it's Sony.
Very good. No, I don't. I'm going
to fit in well here.
I'm going to just jump off a little bit.
Yeah.
You talked about possibly buying a Wii. Do you think that's in your future?
Know what? I think first off, I got to save the buckage, but I'm going to wait it out and see how much I really want it in 4 or 5 months. You know, maybe before the novelty wears off, and I have to play a few more times.
Okay, well, you can come over to my house and play anytime you want. You have that.
Awesome.
Okay, let's move on to the next category. Best movie of 2006 we have yet to see. Runners up, we've got four in this particular category.
Wow.
Let's start with number four. Runners up number one.
Yeah.
Babel. The Brad Pitt's Cate Blanchett. Yeah. You know, first of all, I don't think this is probably the best movie. I think it's got pretty mixed reviews. Would you agree with that, Adam?
It's weird, the mixed reviews it's gotten. It's gotten, like, I don't think that most reviews said it was bad necessarily, just that it's incredibly depressing.
Yeah.
My mom loves
it. Give me a plot in two sentences.
I don't know what it's about.
Is it a timepiece movie since Cate Blanchett's in it?
No, it's modern day.
Okay. It's a good point.
Taking place in a foreign country.
Yeah.
That's all I know.
I don't know
Jared? Next to nothing about it. So.
Okay.
Sorry.
All I know is it got nominated for, you know, Best Picture, despite Metacritic having it at, like, the 60s.
Sure.
And it just seemed to be, like, really, what's it called?
Is it, like, an obligatory award nominee kind of thing, where you feel like it has to be because it's got Cate Blanchett and...
I just wanted to make this have four nominees.
Okay.
Right?
Okay, fair enough.
There you go.
Let's move on to number two.
I wanted us to seem sophisticated.
Half Nelson. You have this on the list. Adam, tell me what this movie's
Half
about.
Half Nelson's about is a movie with Ryan Gosling. It was, until Borat came out, the highest rated movie on Metacritic, I think at like 82.
Plot
is he is a high school, no, elementary.
Is Craig T. Nelson in it?
No. I thought Half Nelson was the beginning of a bad Catholic priest joke.
Wow.
Wow.
He's an elementary school teacher in like the Bronx, and he's also a crack addict, and it's about him kind of dealing with that and at the same time being an elementary school teacher and dealing with it focuses on one of his students whose like brother is like a crack dealer and just how they deal with each other. And it's, and I really like Ryan Gosling, so if you like Ryan Gosling, it's one of those. But he was in The Notebook.
Will you see this movie?
I will. It's on my Netflix queue. It doesn't come out till February.
Fantastic. You know, I'm looking at my list, and I have highlights for the third and fourth movie on this list as tied for winners. So, Jared, give me some winning sound effects.
You want some winning sound effects?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Co-winner number one, Children of Men, starring the guy...
Clive Owen. Yes.
Not getting great reviews, but a fantastic... A concept for a movie. Adam, please explain it.
It is getting... Well, it's getting good reviews.
Good reviews, not great. I said not fantastic.
Ah, okay. Stupendous? It's...
No.
Dystopian
good.
Future.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it's set 17 years from now, or maybe like 50 years from now, and the plot is for the last 17 years, human beings have stopped being able to reproduce. No babies have been born, and no one's exactly sure why. And so basically the world's falling apart because people know that there's no future for the human race. And lo and behold, this group of rebels or something find a woman that's pregnant. So it's about Clive Owen trying to smuggle her from somewhere in Europe to America, where there's like a base, like a science.
A baby base.
There's some sort of...
Because America's awesome.
Science base set up to help this cause.
I think all rational people can agree that this is a fantastic concept for a movie.
I think so.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It's very... It's like 1984 plus
Why the Last Man. The comic book.
Yeah. So,
for those nerds out there, they can relate.
Soon to be a major motion picture. Maybe not soon, but eventually.
Co-winner for best movie of 2006 we have yet to see. I love my explosions. Wow. I'm not getting it for this one.
What? You want me to play it again?
Oh, I love the drum roll explosion. Pan's Labyrinth from the guy that did Hellboy.
Yes. What else did Guillermo del Toro do?
Jared knows it all. Go ahead. Did he do Blade 3?
Blade 2, I think.
Blade 2, yes. Yeah. Very bloody. He's got all sorts of other movies that people seem to love.
Yeah. This one is, by the way, now the highest rated movie in Metacritic history. It's at 98 now, I think. Yeah.
Getting great reviews across the board. Yes. It's an adult fairy tale.
Are you getting money for every time you drop Metacritic on the show? Mm-hmm. Is that the deal?
Rotten Tomatoes hates me.
Wow.
They really don't like you. Yeah, this is like a period piece, right? It takes place
set during the Spanish Civil War.
Is Cate Blanchett in it?
No,
nope.
She's not.
Foreign language film. No English. So Earl would hate it. Or maybe he would love it. I don't know.
Is it actually foreign language?
It is.
I thought the beginning part is. I thought, oh, okay, you could be right.
Cate knows
In
Spanish.
The Wall Street Journal review of it, they said it was foreign language, but who knows what that means.
Okay. Yeah, and it's just about a girl who goes to live with one of the... colonels in the bad side of the Spanish Civil War.
Yes.
I don't know enough about it.
Is it all subtitled?
Yeah. No, it's going to be like what Passion of the Christ was going to be, where you had to know Aramaic.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, yeah, it's all subtitled, I guess. And she kind of lives in a fantasy world, very never-ending story, I guess, you know. Mm-hmm. Where,
but for adults.
Exactly, but it's very violent, very bloody. And
does Hellboy make an appearance?
Apparently very, very good.
Or
no,
Abe Sabian.
I don't think so. big problem is, so it came out in New York, LA, and Chicago this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And riots in the streets?
Next weekend, it comes out in like 12 more cities, and I don't know when it'll be here. So.
They don't send it to the hillbillies
sometime post-Oscar.
Like us. Okay, guys, I want to make this part a little bit more interactive. I'm going to let you select the order of the last two topics for
wow.
our part of the show. Okay, I'm looking at my list. I've got one that talks about Sony, and I've got one that talks about Earl. What do you guys think?
I think Earl should be the finale.
Okay.
Yeah, go Sony first.
Okay, Sony goes first.
Adam doesn't get to vote.
You're out, Adam.
Okay.
Jared, play me some sound effects. Best Sony F-up of the year. They've got a lot. Runners-up number one, PSP marketing. We covered this on the last show.
Right.
Adam, you want to give any background
the
to
the marketing
this?
Specifically?
Yes.
Yeah, because the PSP, I think it's... Well,
PSP, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
PSP.
Yeah, right. I think the PS3 marketing
is
actually
pretty good. I
wish I had
the rap to play right now.
Yeah.
I
wish you don't.
So we went into the last week's terrible... Or 2 weeks ago, the terrible viral marketing. Yes, the viral marketing campaign behind.
We'll play this through the whole bit.
Sweet. I mean, not just that though. They had those terrible commercials, like with the weird like fuzzball talking to like a squirrel.
Yeah, I didn't get those.
They were all. I mean, they were all really bad, and they all got like terrible reviews. And like, as Al's bouncing to this.
I love the big screen.
Oh God,
so fresh and so clean. It's all in my dreams.
Yeah, so that's specifically what we were aiming for.
I just heard a rumor today that a new PSP could be coming out in the next year that includes a hard drive.
I mean, really.
That'll be very bad. I mean, so they're basically going to have two different PSP.
Yeah, I don't know how
now.
They would do that, but considering they base the current one on a disk drive, that could be big trouble.
We could have included the UMD itself as...
The movies, terrible.
You have to pay $20 for a lower quality version.
It's actually more than $20. Okay. I think they were
25
to 30.
Nice.
Let's give a shout-out to runners-up number two, viruses, or in parentheses, rootkit on audio CDs.
Yeah.
Please explain this to me, guys. I'm a technical idiot, a novice. I don't know what this is all about. I forget.
Well, essentially, they had a bit of software on their CDs that was designed to keep you from ripping it or copying it or something. But what it did is it installed a rootkit on your system, which is basically, I don't know
you could grow
that
a garden
much
on
about
your computer?
A rootkit. No, but it's like at the root level of your computer, and most virus software would consider it, you know, malware. It's not really a virus because it doesn't propagate itself. It doesn't spread to other systems, but... Hackers install rootkits so they can get control of your machine, so having Sony install that is not a good idea.
Right, and there was at least one proof of concept showing people being able to use Sony's rootkit take over systems that it was installed on.
Yep.
It was never actually released into the wild, from what I know, but it was shown that it was possible.
So Sony wasn't exploiting things, but others were using if it was installed, they were able to exploit your system.
Yeah,
I think it's fair to say, naughty, naughty Sony.
Yeah, pretty much.
And the award for Best Sony F-Up of 2006 goes to... Yes, you guessed it. The PS3.
I wish I had a rap for that.
We all agree that the PS3 is not a failure in itself.
Mm-hmm.
The verdict is out, but right now people are not high on it. And they're going to have some serious work to do in the upcoming year to be number one.
Yeah, and they didn't really launch with a killer game.
Nope.
You know, there was nothing out there that people had to have.
That, Resistance? Fall of Man, whatever that is?
That shooter?
Yeah. The first-person shooter.
Well, the problem with
great,
that...
Great, not superb.
Well, it looks just like Gears of War. So it's like, why would people...
Just
are gonna...
Gears of War.
Exactly.
Yeah. And as I think Jared pointed this out to me yesterday, the PS...
360.
The PS2 will probably outsell all three systems in the next year.
For the next couple of years. So, that's what analysts are saying.
Yeah, but it's affordable and... That is usually what happens.
It's powered by Guitar Hero.
I was thinking about getting one because like they're like $119 or something now.
Yeah, they're real cheap.
And
honestly, I probably would have bought one yesterday if Guitar Hero had been in store, but it's out everywhere.
Yeah,
so
there's like Guitar Hero and then all the Squaresoft games that I never played that I'd like.
And
to.
Bully.
And Bully. And that's like only $30.
Yep, it's a great game. I've started playing it. Everybody, before we get into the music portion of the best of, we've got one more topic and people are excited about it. It is... biggest raping of Earl's childhood. As you know, Earl suffered a lot this past year.
Oh, yes.
And your boys here at the Scope are going to point it out.
I didn't see childhood on the list, so I was a little more excited for it.
Biggest raping of Earl.
Yeah. Earl's been defiled several times this year, and we're going to recap.
So typical coming from a gym teacher.
Yeah.
Sorry, Al. Runners up number one, Mob Deep's Phantom of the Paradise video on YouTube. Jared, give us some background on this, please.
I'm going to play a little bit for you so you understand.
The mad scientist. Roll on thunder, shine on lightning. The days are long and the nights are frightening. Nothing matters anyway, that's the hell of it. Infinite. Yeah, yo, round the party, getting big, crash the party. Handle B.I., bringing it to anybody. Physical damage, crowd control, handle cannon. Hitting you with, leaving your bloodstream contaminated. While you acting out of character, we...
I've heard worse rap, by the way.
Yeah, well, if you listen to the rest of the song, it's really not that great. Okay. A lot of bitches and hoes talk, but...
nothing wrong with that.
Essentially, what it comes down to is Phantom of the Paradise from Brian De Palma is one of Earl's favorite films. Check with him later. It may be his favorite film at the moment. I don't know. Flash Gordon tends to be at the top of the list,
too. To give a little background for most people, it's a somewhat obscure...
It's a rock and roll update of the Phantom of the Opera tale.
Somewhat obscure?
Yeah, I've never heard it. What year did that come out? 72?
72, real early.
Okay,
So Earl loves it. But the video itself, the song uses samples from the song Hell of It, which is from the score of the film. Written by Paul Williams, and the video
was a weird, creepy dude in his own right.
And the video uses clips from the movie. And I remember when Earl found this. I'm not sure if he found it on his own or if someone pointed out to him, but he posted it on his live journal and was just irate that once again his childhood is being raped. So there you go. Could not believe that they had destroyed something he loved.
Can we have a link to this on our website? I mean, are we technically advanced enough where we can do this?
I think so.
Okay.
It's not a picture, so we're probably okay.
Can we do this, Adam? Can you promise me that we're going to have a link to Mob Deep's Phantom of the Paradise?
I'll send Adam the link and he can post it.
Okay,
it's probably on YouTube, right?
It's a guarantee it's on YouTube.
Hells yeah.
There you go.
Well, let's continue with my favorite topic of the year. Runners up number two. It's a tough one. Superman Returns. Everybody,
very
Earl
divisive.
He has made his feelings clear on Superman Returns
repeatedly
over and over again. You'll be talking to Earl about going shopping for groceries, and he'll say, "Yeah, I went and got a pot roast, but boy, that Superman Returns is the worst piece of crap I've ever seen in my life." He doesn't like this movie, Jared.
He hates it. He hates. He hates Perry White. He hates Jimmy Olsen. It's not Superman to him. There's no Clark Kent doesn't wear a vest. I mean. The list goes on for the reasons why it's not a great Superman film.
Now, is this a bad movie, Jared?
I don't think it is. I don't think it's a great movie, but I did enjoy watching it. But I'm not married to what's come before, so
Al, I appreciate a fresh interpretation. Did you see this movie, Al?
I haven't seen it, but all I remember is the Scope episode where Earl was talking about it. It was one of my favorite episodes.
Ever.
Yeah.
And I will see it as a...
where we were drunkenly arguing. Yeah,
it was fantastic.
Adam's trying to eat the windscreen. Yeah. I don't know what's going on.
Adam,
there.
What did you think of Superman
it's
Returns?
It's not made of candy.
Much like you, I guess I didn't think it was, or much like Jared, it wasn't.
Yeah, don't pull me into your web of lies.
It wasn't the best thing ever, but I didn't like. I went back and watched the old Superman movies; those weren't very good either.
Yeah, I was watching Superman the movie this morning, and it doesn't hold up well over time. At least in the Krypton scenes, it's very, very dated. And I don't know if this new Superman will be that dated. If you want to know the truth.
And
it's
honestly,
maybe new digital effects.
Maybe they all will be. But you know what? Yeah. I liked Superman Returns. I liked it quite a bit, actually.
When he first shows up and the music's playing, I was like, it got my heart. I was like, yeah.
I think there could have been more action to it. Yeah, but
Superman is doing Superman stuff, it's wonderful. It's great to watch.
I feel overall it was a solid movie, and people that say anything otherwise are a little too jaded for their own.
I said it before. I don't know that Lex Luthor is a good bad guy, especially for a movie. Like, I think that he's a good comic book bad guy.
Yeah.
I think he's a good, like, ongoing series bad guy. But for, like, a one-shot movie, I don't think he's a very good bad guy. Like, you need, like, what they've done with the Spider-Man movies, even though I don't think they're the greatest things ever. they have like action-y bad guys, which is what you
can. They
need.
Have people that can fight Spider-Man on an action level.
Right.
Whereas Lex Luthor is a man who's...
He's got to use his intellect.
Maybe smarter than
his super brain.
That's it.
He's a level 9 intelligence, right?
There you go, well, yeah.
Not being a comic book junkie,
please.
I've enjoyed the Spider-Man movie, so would I like the Superman movie?
I think so.
Well, it's a little. It is a little slower, but I think that overall it's an okay movie.
And
what do you
I'm
want?
I'm assuming it comes out somewhat soon. Or
it's on DVD today. You can get it at your stores or rent it. Whatever you want.
Right.
Have to get some ammo.
Red Box and McDonald's for a dollar? Grab it.
Well, let's find out, Jared, who made Earl's butt the sorest. In 2006, Transformers the movie.
Butt the sorest? Is that a new
dinosaur? And it's just the trailer, people. This movie doesn't
I know.
This movie doesn't even come out until July 2007.
Earl has almost 7 months of raping to come.
Is this sponsored by Vaseline right now?
This is sponsored by our friends at KY. You know, heated jelly. Yeah, Earl has been going crazy about the Transformers lately. I don't know what is going on with this gentleman, but boy, he hates it, Jared.
I think it's going to become a regular bit.
Yeah, this is our solemn promise to you, the Scope listener. We will cover every move that Earl makes when it comes to the Transformers, because you need to know.
The Scope News team.
You need to know the lie. The Scope News team.
I think
we'll do a
story
every week.
Earl Watch.
I think the internet is a very bad thing for Earl, because I think like he goes on and clearly Googles "I hate Transformers" and finds a bunch of other people to just like rage with, and just builds it up even more and more and more with him. Because seriously, I mean, what did you expect? I mean, I think the only thing that would have made him happy was if they took the original animators and the original voice people and just made a 2-hour long animated feature.
They did that in 1986.
Right, and it was, I mean, go back and watch it now. It's not good.
No.
I mean, it's got cool new Transformers you haven't seen before, and a shitty Weird Al song. That's it. That's all.
It's our big commercial for the new toys.
And Galvatron, which was cool. But I mean, otherwise, terrible.
The number one question I have is, does Earl actively seek out new information on this film? I mean, why would he if it's so traumatizing?
I'm sure he does.
Or does people send it to him?
Before we send... Yeah, that's a good question.
I'm going to start sending it to
him.
We'll
find
out.
Al, please, you have something to say.
No, I just say he probably just likes to recycle the news that he wants to believe.
Absolutely.
Let it fester.
Let's put this on the table right now before we move on to the best and worst music of 2006. Will Earl see Transformers the movie?
Yes.
Adam?
I would expect he would have to, right? I mean, is he saying he's not going to see it?
Before we make a prediction, he did put on his website, he is thinking about creating a site that is donotseethetransformers.com. He is saying, don't see this movie, but...
I'm going to go register it so he can't...
I think he's going to go incognito and go watch the movie say he didn't see it.
The main question is, will he pay for it? Because he does have access to seeing a movie for free.
I will go see it. I will buy a ticket for him to see it with him if he refuses.
I think we have to do that, and we need to bring a tape recorder or
Earl
something.
Earl has to be there. Yeah, it has to be a Scope exclusive.
I'll tape it.
Earl watches the
Scope exclusive
movie. There you go. Scope exclusive.
Okay, so we won't even make bets. We'll drag him and Adam and Earl will sit next to each other, and then we'll say, bring it on.
I'm going
to
show up in my Optimus Prime costume.
You should do the Transformers the movie Optimus Prime. That's not the original.
I'll show up in a semi.
We'll mic up Earl. Give him a mic.
So my bet goes off
the
window.
I feel bad because Earl's not here to defend himself.
Yeah, but Earl will be here tomorrow night, which is New Year's Eve, and we're going to do a special Scope bit. What are the odds that Earl might bring up the Transformers in that special bit? Jared?
I'm going to say 3-1.
3-1. Al, you won't be here, but you've heard the show. You know who Earl is.
Yeah, I think if you can't egg him on, right?
No, we won't. Whoa, hell no.
There'll be no mention of it. It's just
I don't know. Why is he just going to bring up Transformers?
That's what he does.
I'll say 10-1.
10-1.
He's passionate. That's why.
Adam, you'll be here tomorrow.
I'm going to say 1-1 only because I will not be able to resist bringing it up.
And I'm not going to judge on it because Earl hates me. So
very true.
No, and you know what, Earl? We love you. So if you listen to the show, it's all in good jest. It's all in good fun. But
and you will have many chances to defend
yourself.
Yeah,
we'll have Earl on. If we have to have him on every week to have his Transformers moment, we will do that.
Of course, we love Earl. We've had a whole segment
dedicated
to him. He's not even here.
We've dedicated 15 minutes to Earl. Al, you're sitting here because you love music.
Yeah.
And you've got stuff to talk about. Jared, it's the best and worst Scope selections of music for 2006. Al, we've got topics. Yep. You've got selections. Let's start with topic number one.
Well, first, I want to thank Jared's boss, Kevin, right now one more time.
I have a little bit of a buzz right now.
Have a little buzz right now.
And I can't even go home because you're driving.
I already slur my speech enough.
Oh, it's fantastic, though, isn't it?
Buckle in, kids.
Adam's eating the windscreen.
Four-hour show. We've got some fantastic categories here, Al. Would you agree with that? Not just your typical best and worst. We've got some funky stuff.
Yeah, we scoped it up.
We did scope it up. We'll end with best song or best album, but we'll start with the album that grew on you in 2006. So to qualify that, it's this album that maybe you didn't like, but over time you did, correct?
Yes, and this one is a little more represented. I didn't really pick this one. Shane kind of picked this one. It's the Killers album.
Let's qualify this. Some of these selections are group selections. Some are Al selections. We expect to battle and pull out hair and kick each other in the testicles if we don't agree. And we'll do it on mic. Thank you.
Yes. Wow.
Okay.
So our first one is you, our first clip is going to be from Sam's Town by the Killers. I think a lot of people and a lot of reviews talked about the Killers album, how it wasn't going to wow you right away, maybe like their first album was.
Hit after hit on that first
hit
album.
After hit on
you have five singles on there probably.
Yep. And the next one, a little more Americana.
Compared to Bruce Springsteen album. Which album was it? His big son of a bitch, I can't remember.
Born in the USA?
No, it was before that.
I don't know. I'm not a Springsteen guy.
Anyway, it was the opus, I guess, would be the correct term. But anyway, sorry, Al. It's your segment.
That's what I had. No, intervene. Anyone else?
Jared, play a clip.
You sit there in your heartache, waiting.
I'm assuming Born to Run is maybe the album
that was it. Born to Run.
Like I said, guys, feel free to interject. And
well, I'll tell a little story here, Al.
Yep, go ahead.
Just a couple of weeks ago, Adam walks up to me at my desk because he's trying to stay out of trouble and stay out of work, and he says, "You know what album I'm kind of digging, and I can't believe that I'm saying this because I hated it." And he said it was The Killers, and I looked at him and said, "You know what, Adam? I agree with you completely. It's one of those albums that kind of sticks in your head. I don't really know how to qualify it, because it's definitely, there's probably two singles on there, really, and the guy's voice is annoying, but I think overall as an album they probably did what they wanted to do, and good for them.
It's probably because Brandon Flowers has a new wave voice and he's trying to do something a little more straightforward. But I think the reason this category might forever go away is the age of digital music right now, where if I don't like something, I'm going to snip a few of those songs right off my iPod, and I'm not going to come back to it as an album and keep listening to it over and over again.
You're going to come back to it as the two tracks on there that are singles.
And I'm fighting that because I just don't want to let the album concept go away.
I wouldn't say I let go of it, but a good album, I'm going to listen to a good album that I liked right away, and I will re-listen to that album over and over again. But for whatever reason now, I don't maybe give every song a second chance, and I will revisit, you know, a few more songs, maybe not every single song, a second chance.
Yeah, I'm definitely the same way. And Jared called this one. Jared gave it a much higher review than we did.
He's a genius.
And you know who I have to thank for this coming back to me?
Earl Lucas?
No. Mm. Normal Radio. Because they've been playing a bunch of different songs from the album on Drive 105.
Our local Minneapolis station.
Right, ever since it came out. Just kind of constantly.
They won't let it go.
No.
And that's a good thing.
And one day I was like, this is really good. It's like good rock song. And then they're like, it's The Killers. I was like, I knew it was because I had just listened to it, you know, 4 months ago.
The unfortunate thing is now that this album is new, you're going to get a variety. 3 years from now, you're going to get the one song.
Yeah.
Maybe off that album. Mm-hmm.
I don't,
but most likely they'll play the hot
and
stuff.
I don't like the two singles on it anymore. Like, I really like the one, the clip that Jared played. Like, that one I liked from the get-go.
Yeah.
But now there's like, I think there's like six songs on it that I have rated as 5-star on my iPod.
Wow, that's impressive.
iPod. Well, I only do 1, 3, and 5, but
we'll get into that mess
later.
That's
another discussion.
But I really like them. Like, and I have the entire album on my iPod just in case I want to listen to one of the ones I have rated lower in case it comes back.
So say Jared is right.
This kind of segues into our next segment for me, because I've not heard the full Killers album yet.
Okay, so let me ask you a quick question, Al. Do you think the next Killers album will go back to that big hits sound, or do you think they're going to do what they want to do?
Probably halfway between what they did.
How have sales been? Any idea?
Average.
Average.
I think probably slightly disappointing would be my take, but I don't know, so don't hold me to it.
It probably has to do with how the sales are.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I hope that they do whatever they feel like doing, because you know they showed that. I mean, while it's kind of weird. This is what I said to Shannon. It's like, I kind of wish that they didn't call themselves the Killers when the album came out, because if like it had just been like a new band, I would have been listening to it not expecting.
Or if they didn't declare it the best album of the year before it came out.
Yeah, yeah, that's a mistake. Al, topic number two. This is the album you forgot to listen to in 2006. Al, enlighten us.
Yes, The Killers is one of those albums, but there always seems to be that artist that you really appreciate and really admire, and for whatever reason, too cheap, like myself, to go out and buy the album, or you just haven't...
not smart enough to steal it.
Not smart enough to steal it.
On the internet.
Not make the effort to find a friend who has it and mm-hmm. give it a listen to. My pick was The Information by Beck. And fortunately, two of you guys have heard it, but I think we go a little round table on this one. Adam, is there any movies or music that you haven't listened to that you've been kind of thinking, God, why haven't I done that yet?
There was probably a bunch. I mean, I'm pretty good about... I've subscribed to a review feed that just has like reviews of new albums, so I'm usually pretty aware when they come out. But I know there's a lot that I get and then just never wind up actually listening to, and they just kind of sit on my, like the new Belle and Sebastian CD. I'm pretty sure I listened to it. I don't even know if I listened to the entire album once this year.
Was that that was a pretty highly reviewed
album, I don't know. Like, every one of their albums, I like two songs on, so it's hard for me to.
And what did you think of the new Beck album?
The first time I listened to it, I was expecting Garrow, because I really liked Garrow. It was kind of like the Killers album, where it was like up tempo and techno-y and stuff. And I was like, this is, you know, kind of cool. Because, I mean, you've heard Beck do weird things before, but this was all kind of dancey and stuff.
They'll do like a completely different sound every album.
Yeah, they say Beck albums are like Star Trek movies. Every other one is good.
Well, okay. And here's the thing.
No, they're different. Every other one is
I would say they're more
different
because you can probably find at least four or five good songs on every Beck album, and that includes Vultures. What's it called?
Midnight Vultures.
Midnight Vultures, which a lot of people didn't like at all.
Well, Jared, Beck is a Scientologist. Does that impact what you think of him?
I now hate him.
Yeah, he sucks. No, it has no impact. I didn't even know he was a Scientologist until now.
Guess what? Your life is shattered.
Now you hate him.
I'm actually deleting him from iTunes right now.
It impacts me, and I still like the album. So.
Okay. Jared, you have any picks for things you wish you would have listened to, but you hadn't?
As we had our dialogue about what was good this year, I realized that I didn't listen to a lot of music. Most of the music I listened to was stuff that we'd reviewed for the show. And otherwise, it was just whatever came up on random. Or I was listening to a lot of podcasts, but I wasn't listening to a lot of music.
Mm-hmm.
I think the one album, and I'm not even sure if it's from this year, but one album I've been thinking, I should listen to that.
Pet Sounds by the Beach Boys.
That's one of them. But,
60-something.
No, the latest, I don't even know what it's called. The latest from OK Go.
Oh, no.
That was 05. Oh, no.
Was it 05? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I don't even know if it's from this year, but that's
and
one.
And I just started listening to that today, finally.
Yeah, wow. That's one album that I think, I should really listen to that. I've just never gotten around to it.
So, Jared, are you more of a movie TV guy, or where does music fall for you? I mean,
music
being a musician, though.
Why do you hate music?
No,
that's
no,
the question
I don't hate
we
music.
Need to ask.
What I think what's consumed a lot of my time has been, I listen to a lot of podcasts. And that's what I listen to at work. I listen to a lot of talk, and some of them are music
like Scope
podcasts,
Show.
But... You know, and I don't find that I have a lot of time for music. I don't really listen to music at home. So really, car and at work are the only places that I would listen to it. And like I said, podcasts have taken up the time.
Well, step it up next time.
I will try,
year.
But...
For myself, the albums that I did not listen to this year, I had an album by the Pink Spiders sitting on my desktop, and I just did not
listen
to it.
Which we were going to do for the show, possibly.
Yep, didn't happen, so I don't even know what they're all about. And the other album I didn't listen to, which I wish I would have, was Kidz Bop 10. Because my daughter loves Kidz Bop 9, and I love to hear kids singing
the
choruses in Green Day songs about war. I mean, that's classy.
Yeah, sure is.
One last thing about missing or not getting to listen to music is my iPod. And I listen to my iPod more since I don't care for a lot of the radio stations. So, you know, I listen to what I have, and I listen to it on my iPod.
It's hard to keep up when you're listening to what you have, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Music topic number three for... Well,
no clip, by the way. For
no clip, and some of these won't. So.
You know what's good for that, by the way, Shane?
What?
Going to Metacritic, because they have all the new...
Cha-ching!
Al, I wish they'd go away! 2006, well, there's a lot of them out there.
We had a few runners up. I was going to say runner-ups, but I think we talked about possibly Fergie...
and Gwen Stefani.
Possibly.
Fergie and Gwen Stefani.
I'm
if
angry
they're not
about,
the same person
I'm
right
angry
now.
About Gwen Stefani, by the way.
You're angry about that choice?
I like Gwen Stefani. Oh, I mean, I don't necessarily like her music, but I like No Doubt, and she gets a pass for what she did with No Doubt. Suck it.
She gets a pass for what?
What she did with No Doubt. No Doubt's a great band.
She was a rock singer then. That's what I want.
What her band did.
I've listened to the new Gwen Stefani album. And? What do you think of that? And you know what?
Does she spell anything?
Well, that's not a,
perhaps.
That's
not, how many Kleenex did it take to clean up the blood from your ears?
Oh, I thought you were talking about my schlong.
No.
Hi-yo.
That's what I heard. That's
here's the thing about Gwen Stefani. She's definitely a she's schizophrenic in terms of what she does with her album. She does half the album for the kids. She does half the albums for her No Doubt fans. And you know what? Half the album is listenable. The other half should be thrown out in the trash. But you
know
what?
She's
appealing to the broader audience. The songs that you've heard mostly on the radio are the songs that are, you know, the chanting type songs and the clips from Sound of Music.
Spell
that sort
banana.
Of thing. Yeah. Exactly. But you know what? I'd rather it be Gwen Stefani than Fergie. That's what I say.
Well, actually, our winner for I Wish They Would Go Away is a whole subculture of mediocre bands that get pumped up so much by television commercials and ads for television shows and movies, and we'll play the clip right now. Accepting this for that subculture will be The Fray.
Please.
After you stay right between the lines, fear and you begin to wonder why you came.
It's like I'm watching Grey's Anatomy right now.
Well, and since we can't get rid of soccer moms in general, you know, for pretty much pumping this stuff up and making it more relevant than it needs to be, we'll just have to hope that bands like The Fray, not necessarily go away, but just get played the amount that they deserve to be played.
Can I tell you a little story about The Fray?
Sure.
Early,
I got a couple, too.
Early in 06.
We've got all the time in the world.
I know. That's great. Early in 06, I was watching VH1. And they have this thing called Artists to Watch. So it's like commercials in between their programming.
Right.
And they played, The Fray was their Artists to Watch. You never heard of these guys before. And it was during every commercial break, Artists to Watch. And they play a little bit of the video, maybe do a little interview with them. And it was over and over and over again. And guess what? Like 2 months later, boom. Here they are. They're on their top 20 video countdown.
It's like VH1.
Happens when you have marketing dollars.
Yeah, another
you.
Month later, boy, you start hearing them on the radio. It's, you know, Fray could be the best band in the world. They could be the worst band in the world. The fact of the matter is that their record company decided their song was going to be a hit, and we will put the money behind it. We need to make it a hit.
Well, and I have a buddy.
How dare they?
I have a buddy who's seen them 4 times, and he said they're more than underwhelming.
And why is he your friend if he's seen the Fray four times?
And why does he keep seeing them?
Well, opening for other artists, okay. And he has, you know, Connect free concerts he gets into, but. The thing is, I'm in my Phi-Ed class, and we put it on the loudspeaker, and
not
our
hot.
Two, yeah, exactly, our 35,
very nice,
our 35-year-old female Phi-Ed teachers, when, I don't know if it's that song or that other song, comes
stripping?
On, they start, I wish, well, one of them,
they start,
wow,
they put the Let's Rock signs up,
Let's Rock with
the
Fray,
the deal, yeah.
Piano being the sissy piano.
Okay, let's move on.
Speaking of,
does that group include like shitty emo bands and? Or
I would say like the Fray. No offense, if you like Keen, and I mean they were. I think they got done by another. You know that usually they have a hit and then like a year and a half later, you know a chick flick movie comes out with two actors that you really like, but they're making money.
What about Hames Blunt?
What? Well, Shane, I know you have. I don't know whatever kind of. Kid or man, baby crush since your daughter loves that song.
Yeah.
I think he sucks.
Okay. But, I mean, he's another one of those that is everywhere.
Yep.
Yeah.
The thing is, you can play him, but he's okay. Play him an okay amount on the radio.
Yep, and then everyone's happy.
Yep.
Speaking of negativity, Al, our next category, most overrated artist of 2006. Al, spill it.
I think we decided on... not to be confused with the Peppers, but the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Let's go right to the clip.
Just another way to survive.
Why not?
Boy, they love California.
They do mention Minnesota, Jared. and this song. I kind of like this
song. Soundgarden.
This song isn't awful.
This is the best song from that two-disc set, probably.
I think we all. This was also a winner of another category Shane came up with.
What was that?
Best CD that was 16 songs.
Yeah, that was my whole thanks. That was my whole joke. 18 songs too long.
Why didn't you go with it then?
Stadium Arcadium. You know, not terrible. And it pains me to make fun of the Chili Peppers. They're kind of the backbone of alternative music of. You know, the
I disagree
wholeheartedly.
Shut your mouth. Turn his mic off now, Jared. Hit that button.
I have.
This is like that ESPN.
He's out of here.
It's like that ESPN show.
Thank you.
I have not liked the Chili Peppers ever since Blood Sugar Sex Magik came out when I was in like seventh grade.
Turn him off. Jared, please give us some logic.
He's back on.
Give us some logic. You love the Chili Peppers. You're
a
huge fan.
I love them.
Would you marry Flea?
No. Okay.
Well, we're not calling it worst album.
It's
of
overrated.
The year. We're calling it overrated.
Rolling Stone said it was the number two album.
That's hot.
Rolling Stone's wrong.
Yeah, they are. It's most of the albums sounded similar.
And
most
that's bad.
It sounded like it was padding.
Yeah.
And you can't give props to that, Adam. You just can't.
I stand by my thinking that I do not like the Chili Peppers. I've never liked them. Today on my drive over here. 105 played some song from Blood Sugar Under the Bridge or something. Mm-hmm. That song drives me nuts. I hate that song.
Does it drive you nuts because it's been overplayed, or does it drive you nuts because you don't like the
song? I didn't like it when I first heard it. I don't like it now. I just never enjoy. I don't like his voice. I don't like. Yeah.
You should hear some of the demos of that I've heard, and they're just god awful. He can't sing.
The only song that
they really have
that I like is a cover, and it's the
Stevie Wonder.
The Stevie Wonder, and I like the Stevie Wonder version more.
Well, not to get my mic shut
off. Everyone can agree that Chili Peppers have good
energy.
Not
to get my mic shut off, but my runner-up for this was the Gnarls Barkley album.
Oh,
I would disagree.
Oh, I was keeping you up for some high comedy, but...
Sorry.
I kind of agree with Al on that one myself, but...
I think it's the epitome of a hit song driving up an album as being that great.
There's four good songs on that album.
I'd say three or four,
okay.
What's the two make out?
There's actually 17 good songs on there.
17.
There's some hidden tracks.
Guys, I'd love to sit and talk about this, but I think our show is 4 hours long right now. Uh-huh. So let's move on to positivity.
We're
reviewing
the whole year.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, so, I mean, we could at least allow one day for it.
We can cut it into two parts.
We have selected the best song of 2006, or Al has. It's such a good song that two of the people here haven't even heard it.
So. I'm sorry.
So this is Al's pick, he's the music expert, so Al, please tell us what we need to be listening to.
And don't tell us what it is. We'll play the clip first.
Play the clip.
Well, I'm taking the liberty of this. So I'll just...
Don't say what it is.
I'll preface it with that.
It's hot
technically, the album is not out yet. It's going to be out second or third week of January, but the single has been released. The video has been released. And actually, it's been on lists.
And you masturbate to it every time you hear it on the iPod.
Yes. Let's hit the clip so I can go.
Best song of the year.
Is this PSP? or is this my rendition of PS3?
Thank you, Fred Norris.
There you go. Best song of the year is
Fred Eric Norris.
Oh, jeez. I'm screwing it all up. Sorry.
Jared's hitting buttons.
The remix. It's a mashup. Two zombie walk in Austin. Well, I love Natalie Portman, and Natalie Portman loves the Shins. So we deemed our song of 2006 Phantom Limb by the Shins. And it's, like I said, it's going to be coming out in a few weeks. The album is called Wincing the Night Away.
I can't wait because I love their last two
And the chorus
albums.
Is great, by the way. That's what makes this song great.
The woo-woos right now. Crank it up. We'll be right back.
So look for the best song of 2006 to be out in stores in 2007.
The funny thing is,
a head start.
Rumor has it that
your sources.
Well, my sources tell me that Jared does not believe in picking a best song of the year.
He doesn't.
He's very album centric.
I guess I am. I just had trouble this year because I didn't listen to a lot of. I didn't listen to a lot of music, and I didn't listen to it as singles. I listened to it either in shuffle play or as an album, and so it's hard for me to pick a number one song.
And that's why Jared has the brain of 105.
So I might call a snobby elitist, but
no. I mean,
I'm
today was this was just an off year for music for me.
So Adam, listen to that song, and then next week you can tell us if you think it's the best song of 2000.
My pick would have been Your Touch by the Black Keys, for what that's worth. If anyone,
I don't know what that is. Al, do you know what that is?
I've not heard it.
Two-man blues.
I know who they are.
I think that what we can learn from this is that...
London Bridge, that's not best, anyone's list.
Best song is really a personalized thing, and I would pick something from Akon myself.
I would like to say, by the way, that the Guster song that you picked is my favorite Guster song.
Okay.
And it sounds exactly like...
And now Adam's rubbing...
What's the band that I couldn't
I'm getting
think
a reach
of?
Around right now.
What's wow. the band that I couldn't think of, and like it's Angie's, one of Angie's favorites, and they're from here? Or they're from Minnesota?
Honey Dogs?
No.
Semisonic.
Yeah, Semisonic. Semisonic. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There's a Satellite sounds just like a Semisonic song.
Al doesn't agree.
Yeah. No,
I forget which
one
it is.
Just trying to think of what it is.
Yeah.
Best album of the year, people! Al, say something fantastic.
Well, I decided to go with maybe a more homocentric pick.
Wow. Homosexual pick?
And don't say it. We'll give it a drum roll.
Technically, don't say it. Well, I'm just going to...
He's going to tease it, Jared. That's how we do it in the business.
Yeah, actually,
tease it, baby.
You know, my three...
Get it hot.
Personally, my three runners up.
Runners up.
I personally like three other albums. They're good in my opinion, but yet semi-flawed, I think, in their own ways.
Let's run them down. Number one.
My three runners up, I liked Tapes and Tapes, The Loon. I enjoyed... Arctic Monkeys, the really long titled one, and I just completely The Crane Wife by the Decemberists, which is also up for best American band trying to pretend that they're British,
but so. Defeated
well, they
by
aren't
Stephen
British.
Colbert.
I did
no,
not know that
they are not. So we decided, drum roll please, the winner of 2006 Album of the Year for The Scope is Eyes Open. Bye. I just totally blanked.
Snow Patrol.
Snow Patrol.
They're so good, I forgot the name. Jared. Be what I want with my hands open and my eyes open. I just keep hoping that your heart opens.
It's not as easy. What score did we give that? You remember?
We gave it a pretty
three
good score.
And a quarter,
it was decent,
maybe?
Yeah.
The thing about this album for me is I went into it wanting to just hate this album. They would have been my I wish they'd go away type thing. I think, what is the song, Chocolate, mm-hmm. from the last album got pimped out by, you know, every soccer mom TV show and movie out there that I did not want to like these guys. They were... another run-on of Coldplay, I thought, when they first came out, just riding that wave of, you know, sensi bands out there. So I did not want to like this album, and I put it in. And even the first time I listened to it, I was still telling myself I didn't like the album, and I listened to it again and actually gave it another chance, and I would say...
You opened your mind.
I'd say four or five of the songs are more than rock solid.
Yeah.
And everything else on it is...
Listenable
that I can play it and enjoy listening to the whole CD at the same time.
This is one that comes up on my iPod on shuffle, and I never skip past any of the songs.
Jared only has like 10 it. Songs in his iPod, so it comes
it
up
was,
a lot.
It's the only yeah. album we listen to
when,
this year.
When we actually, most it. Of the stuff on my iPod is stuff that we've reviewed this year.
When we did the review for it, it was the hardest album of the year that I had to pull sound clips from. It was the hardest one for me to choose which songs to use because highlights. They were just, they're all solid, and even the ones that are like mediocre have like at least really good parts to it. Like
every song gave Adam an orgasm.
Exactly.
Very, very these guys unique situation.
These guys are clearly a band that they're going out there and they are trying to write songs that are going to be big.
Well, here's the thing.
And I like that. I mean, that's like saying we're going to go out there and put together an album that's going to be listenable all the way
well,
through.
Well, there's nothing about these songs that, or nothing about the band and their style and their sound that really wows me. It's just good songs.
There you go. And good songs. people.
I went in the same way for what it's worth, Earl. I remember because I was like, it's an OC band and not even like a cool OC band because lots of, you know, like the Arctic Monkeys and wow. I'm completely blanking on the other ones I was going to think of.
Bibbidi-bobbidi.
A lot of your Danny Warhol types.
There's a lot of weird body sounds on this show.
Yeah, junior, senior.
And it was just, I mean, I made fun earlier saying it was adult contemporary, but it's just, it is. It's really good rock, so.
By the way, Jared's 10th favorite album this year is Hello Goodbye, since he only listened to 10 albums this year.
Not true, but.
Sad.
Valiant effort. Yeah. Like you're getting in on the repartee. I like that.
Yep. Al, thank you for all of your hard work selecting the music that moved us, both in a positive and a negative way, for 2006.
Well, I would like the music department budget to be up next year for the scope, so
we'll
I can listen to some more tracks.
Yeah, we'll see what we can do. Sponsorship is an issue with
us. Metacritic.
Yeah.
That's next week's show.
Yeah.
Metacritic.
Visit Metacritic.
Everybody, this is one of the longest scope shows in history, but damn it, there's still a whole section left of good stuff, people. I hope you enjoyed the Scope 2006 Year in Review. Coming at you soon, we've got music, we've got Under the Scope, we've got everything, people. Stay awake, listen to the Scope.
People are starting to talk about the Scope. Even the upper crust of Hollywood has taken notice. Here's what the stars and starlets of Tinseltown are saying about our modest little podcast. Napoleon Dynamite.
What the heck are you guys doing? Trying to ruin my life and make me look like a friggin' idiot?
Uncle Rico.
I'm gonna tell you something right now. While you're out there playing patty cake with your friend Pedro, your Uncle Rico making $120.
Kip.
That's pretty cool, I guess.
Thanks, famous people. Now, back to the Scope. It's time to bust a move with Scope Sounds, the Scope Song of the Week. Drop that beat, homie.
Hit it! Ah, yeah, the year is ending and it's time to party. So slide in next to that foxy lady and buy her a drink. And while you're at it, why don't you buy us a drink from the Argyle Pimps? Pimp it ain't easy here on the Scope.
I've never felt this good in my entire life. Make me some spaghetti.
Musketeers wanted something weird, so the panda bears back to manhandle the track, planning a panhandle of free beat, then activated. I'm babbling, dabbling, and fanny paddling, glad to be grappling back in the saddle again. Don't make Jack Sprat have to start baffling cats, grabbing at my javelin, snapping, battling fans. Oh, you don't want to test my glands, I'm in the stands, Ron R testing fans. You know the game plan, name brand rap, bone bees. You don't want no beef with the splurt, you know the steez, off the hook like OJ, all the way to the coast, bumping Coldplay, with your girl, have my crew play all day, I serve kids on some souffle, flambe,
yeah, we are the Argyle Pimps, so buy us a drink, we're better than you thought, but not as good as we think, we are the Argyle Pimps, so buy us a drink, come on, buy us a drink, come on, buy us a drink, we are the Argyle Pimps, so buy us a drink, we're better. My flow's equivalent to marinated mangoes dipped in soy sauce. Man, that means that I'm sick. Buy me a fruit spritzer with umbrella toothpick. It's time to celebrate. I just got my ring. Ned Plimpton, Team Zisu, you know how we do. You need to stand back. We flap gums and dance. Rap Rat Pack preparing for small amounts of cash. Count that slow, you little Jack Rollin' dandies. We eat granulated jalapeno seed candy. Ronco, you see Han Solo and Tonto drop. Invented skill like Ronco Pale Pronto. We soak in Calistoga volcanic ash, submerged in aqua surge, whirlpool bass, splish splash. We paddle on green seas with seaweed. The beach drinks green tea, me and some kiwi.
We are the Argyle Pimps, so buy us a drink. We're better than you.
now return to the scope, just for the hell of it.
Under the scope.
Yes, it is our bi-weekly recap of news, reviews, and coming soon. Sans the reviews this week. Adam, we apologize for nothing here at the scope.
Okay.
Length of show included.
Sure. Well, you keep apologizing.
It's an endurance.
So let's jump into the news, Jared. And Adam and Al. A lot of things happening in the world. Adam, please, please tell us. A
lot of death.
A lot of death.
It's very sad.
James Brown died. The internationally known Soul Brother number one, Mr. Dynamite, and Godfather of Soul. He always seemed to have done things his, in a grand way, even his death on Christmas morning.
Right from the heart, I love it.
He's always got a Trump Jesus, which I don't think is appreciated.
It's been his goal.
Brown, at the age of 73, died in Atlanta at in an Atlanta hospital after being admitted over the weekend, complaining of not feeling well. Reports state the Augusta, Georgia native died of pneumonia.
I also heard he died of congenital heart failure. I'm not sure which is which now.
I don't know.
Which is the true story?
This maybe, one's maybe from both. The Baltimore Afro-American. So
well, you got to believe
I
that.
Believe them.
It's yeah. more grand to die of two things.
They're known. That's true. Yeah.
Yes. He died of pneumonia and a dagger to the eye.
Ouch.
At the same time.
It's very traumatic.
excuse me. Did you guys know that James Brown owned radio stations throughout his day?
No.
He did. In fact, he owned a Baltimore radio station and was jailed for two nights in Baltimore City Jail for on contempt of court charges surrounding a judgment surrounding his ownership of one of the stations he owned.
Wow.
Yeah. Thank you,
Adam.
I
did not know that.
No, you're very welcome.
As a special treat to our Scope listeners, we found a very famous interview with James Brown, probably in the mid-90s, mid to late 90s, with CNN and the hostess Sonia. And this is James Brown just talking a little bit about his trouble with the law. I think specifically he was a little physical with his woman.
Yes.
And just about his music in general. Jared, please, if you will, play the clip.
And we welcome you, James Brown. How did all of this trouble begin?
Living in America. Nothing wrong.
Nothing wrong at all. You're not in any difficulty, but you're out on bond.
No, I'm not.
I feel good.
Have all the charges been dropped?
Yeah, I'm out on love.
Well, are you out on love or out of love? Which is it?
Out on love. Alone from night to night, you find me.
Now, James, this isn't the first time you and your wife have had a problem. Are the two of you going to be able to work this out?
Let's talk about some music.
You want to talk about music and you don't want to talk about what happened?
No, it's all over.
Well, let's talk about your tour. When are you leaving?
We're leaving tomorrow.
And where are you going?
Rio de Janeiro and São Paulo. Brazil.
Now, your fans will have read all about this, James. Aren't you concerned about that?
What? I'm concerned because there's nothing wrong.
And what are you going to say to your fans when they ask you some questions about it?
I'm going to say, I feel good.
You're glad.
Papa's got a brand new bag. It's a man's world.
Well, that's the second time we've heard that in 2 days. That's very interesting. Now, don't leave us, James. You stay right there.
I'm
we have
leave
more that we have
something.
To talk about. Well, tell us a little bit about what you're going to be doing
Dad.
On this tour.
What'd you say?
What are you going to be doing on this tour?
I'm going to be doing Papa's Got a Brand New Bag, Living in America, Sex Machine, Get Up Off of That Thing. I feel good. Yeah.
Now, I understand that you have already... James, I have to ask you one serious question here. I understand you already have started divorce proceedings. Does that mean that you're now eligible?
I'm eligible. I'm single. I want to mingle.
You want to mingle.
Yeah.
Now, the women love you
He's
when
single
you get
and he
out
wants
there.
To mingle.
Why do you think that is?
What'd you say?
The women love you when you get out there.
Why is that, ladies?
Well, I'm asking you.
Huh? Because I look
do you think
good.
That is? You
I
look
smell
good.
Good. I yes. feel good.
And you sing good.
And make love good.
Oh.
Oh.
Well, there we are. We don't have to ask anybody else. We got that from the source. There you are.
How can this last?
James,
this
we want to thank you for having for being with us today.
Wait
and
a
giving
minute.
Us
I
an
just
opportunity.
Got here.
Oh, is there something more you want to say that we
yeah,
haven't
I
covered?
Yeah, I want to say another thing.
Okay,
I
go
love
ahead.
You. I love America. I love everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I feel good.
It sounds to me as though you're not troubled by any of this at all.
This is a man's world!
Thanks for reminding us of that. Every once in a while, we forget.
Get up,
we remember it again. James, good luck on your tour. Thanks for being with us. I guess we're going to hear lots more.
Hasta luego.
Okay, hasta luego to you, too.
He could be in that Spanish-speaking film.
I wanted to edit that down, but it was just also good.
Yeah, you can't leave it. That is James Brown right there.
I mean, it sounded like a very old Stern call, where like they just took a bunch of clips from James Brown. Yeah.
This is a man's world.
Hasta luego.
Yes, it just sounded like.
Oh
God! And then when you realize it's a real interview, yeah.
He had some trouble with drugs.
Living
and,
in America.
Clearly, that was it. We've lost more people, haven't we?
We have. Adam? We have. The only man to be both president and vice president, but not be elected to either position, died
George
this week.
George W. Bush?
No.
Oh.
Al?
No. Gerald Ford. Ford.
He's not a Lincoln.
Also known as the husband of Betty Ford, who the Betty Ford Clinic is named after, died this week. There's a cat in here, too, by the way.
Don't talk about Al that way.
The cat is apparently was a huge Ford fan, so he's kind of taking it hard. Yeah, so he died.
You're obviously choked up.
Yeah, you can't say anymore. I think Jared found a clip of Gerald Ford talking.
Yes, it's a clip from 1984, and he's speaking on how we would like his presidency to be remembered.
Please. How do you think history will treat you?
Well, I hope the one thing that will be remembered is that I inherited a wounded nation where many of our fellow Americans were disillusioned with government, unhappy with people in public office, torn apart by the Vietnam War, traumatized by Watergate. We had had riots in our streets, disturbances on our campuses. It wasn't a pleasant time to become president. I would hope that my history will be written that we healed the country and healed it constructively. Not that everybody agreed, but their voices were lowered and their differences were less harsh. And we were back on the road to the public believing in our governmental system and having, again, respect for people in high office.
You healed a wounded nation.
I hope that's what historians will write.
Boy. Serious moment on the scope.
Yeah,
you know, I was 2 months old when Gerald Ford took office, and you know, I don't really have a lot of perspective on that. But what I can say is that growing up, Ford was always seen as the buffoon. You know, I don't know if that was due mostly to Saturday Night Live and Chevy Chase, but really, since he's passed away, history has been written as what he just said. You know, that's his main thing. He wasn't really a buffoon or a stumbling idiot. He was a guy that did what
athletic.
He had to do. Yes, he was a superstar football athlete. Took two championships, I believe, when he was playing. So, yeah, I don't know. That's kind of my take on Gerald Ford. Anyone? No? Yes?
Is it sad that we're still hearing more about James Brown's death, though, than our presidents?
Well, I think he's probably going to be the most forgotten president of the 20th century. Simply because, well, not simply because, but he, you know, wasn't elected to either office. He lasted, you know, whatever, 3 years out of a term?
Two and a half.
Yeah.
Late 1974, right. He took office, and the election was in 76.
Yeah. So, I mean, he might be thought of as the one that allowed Jimmy Carter to get nominated.
Because of his pardons else. Of Nixon.
Right, I think, yeah.
That's what they say.
Yeah,
that was part of it, and then some other political issues, too, that, I don't know.
It happens.
We don't need to get into it here, but...
We don't. This is the scope, people. We're talking about what pisses Earl off. So
Sweetness and light.
Let's go on to...
Hasta luego.
Thank you, Al. Any news stories we want to cover before we move into other segments?
What about the death in threes?
Oh, I'm sorry. I totally forgot about that.
You always forget the big stuff.
Thank you, Jared, for putting me back on track. the one thing I did want to point out to all of our listeners is that deaths... At least in our society, it's been said that they come in threes. You know, famous people die in threes.
Yes, James Brown.
We've had James Brown. We've had our former President Ford. And there is one more. That would be our good friend Earl's car died on the 28th. From Earl's live journal, December 28th, 2006. I will read Earl's words.
Oh, I'm almost choked up.
It was a good car.
Can you do an impression for us while reading?
It was a good car.
He sounds like Grover.
I will miss it. It won't be the same driving another car. I hope you find peace after dying such a slow, painful death. But you were strong in the Minnesota cold. Semicolon. Find peace in that great parking lot in the sky, my friend.
Not an appropriate use of a semicolon, I don't think.
Maybe. I just was pointing it out.
Okay.
So, Earl's car. What kind of car was it, Jared?
It's very sad. Was it a Mercury Sable?
Mercury Sable. Beautiful. Yeah. I'm going to quickly tell my favorite Earl's car story because it is probably my favorite moment with Earl in the history of Earlness. I don't think I've told it before, but I'll make it quick. Probably about 3 or 4 years ago, Carrie and myself and Earl and his ex-wife, at the time, we went out to a Minnesota Twins game, and we were parked at a parking lot just kind of off to the side of the Hubert H. Humphrey Metrodome, or Metrodome. And we got out, and I think that the Twins had clinched the division that year, and so it was a meaningless game, but people were very excited, making traffic a little bit slower because a lot of celebration and things like that. So we're stuck in this parking lot, and for those of you that don't know Earl, he's not a big sports fan. As a matter of fact, he thinks that most athletes are rapists and very terrible people overall. He hates them. He doesn't like organized sports, and we can ask him why he doesn't, but it's not a big thing. But he goes to a Twins game, which is odd because he doesn't really like the people there, and he's cheering for the center fielder of the other team because his name is Coco Crisp because it's a cereal. So anyway, we're leaving the parking lot, and it's literally 15-20 minutes to get out. And so we're sitting there, not moving, and from the corner of our eyes, we see like a 4x4 just drive over the curb, and it's probably, 20 feet of grass, and then you drive to another little, drive over it back onto the street, and then you get to a light, and you can just quickly get out.
Right.
And we're like, Earl, maybe you should take that route. And Earl goes, oh, okay. So we pull out of the line.
Is Earl driving a 4x4?
Earl is driving.
Is he driving a stomper?
Earl is driving his... He has a Mercury Sable at the time, which, fairly low clearance. That is a big story.
Yeah.
So he goes in, he hits the curb. All of a sudden you hear this giant crash, and he's literally knocked the muffler just out of commission. So literally he hits it, and then we drive up and over, and the car sounds like some sort of...
Like a Sherman tank.
Like a Sherman tank, a motorboat. And everybody in the car is completely silent. And you literally... Carrie and I are sitting in the back, and you can see Earl's head, and it's in the dark. And you swear to God, you see steam coming out of his ears.
Holy cow.
And Earl just utters these immortal words, which we use all the time. This is why I hate professional sports. and nobody said a word, and we drove home in a Sherman tank. This is why I hate professional sports.
Well, we don't have to ask
because
him
he was coaxed into driving off road in his Mercury Sable.
Right? Why didn't he say this is why I hate Shane?
Yeah, I know he probably was. This is why I hate Transformers.
It's not going to the city.
So
driving.
There you go.
That's incredible.
Adam, I'm going to make an executive decision.
Yeah.
Save some stories for next week. Let's go to coming soon.
All right. But the bananas.
We'll get back to it.
It's bananas.
We can come back to that next time. You can even do it tomorrow.
Great for our impromptu
show.
Coming soon. Shane, you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Bring it.
Is everyone ready for this?
I'm ready. Okay. Oh, yeah. I'm ready for about
music,
an hour and a half now.
I'm told that on January 2nd and January 9th, nothing of note. Nothing at all.
I'm not familiar with that band.
Yeah.
They're releasing two albums 1 week apart.
Right. Up and coming.
It's very interesting.
So we're going to skip music.
Mm-hmm.
Film. We could almost say the exact same thing, it looks like.
Nothing of note.
January 5th.
The soundtrack came out, and then now the film's coming out. Okay, I get it. I'm following along.
January 5th, Happily and Ever After, which I've never heard of, but apparently Sigourney Weaver's in it. And so is Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Oh, and I think that's a CG animated film.
An alliance of evildoers led by the nefarious Frida, who Sigourney Weaver does the voice for, looks to take over fairy tale land. But when Ella, Sarah Michelle Gellar, realizes her stepmother is out to ruin her storybook existence, she takes a dramatic turn and blossoms into the leader of a resistance effort.
Shrek light. Thank you.
Fantastic.
Freedom Riders, or what did we call it last time? Or maybe I made this joke.
You made it. I didn't hear
French
that.
French Fighters?
No, it's... Oh.
French Fighters.
Freedom Riders, or Dangerous Minds.
Oh, yes. Right.
Light. A new teacher, played by Hilary Swank, at Wilson High School in Long Beach, California, uses writing to turn a class of hardened kids into expressive, compassionate thinkers who, for once in their lives, consider life after high school.
Turn in all their weapons, stop selling drugs, stop beating the women.
Right.
It's thank goodness that a kind of a straight-laced, boring white woman can inspire African-Americans to be better.
Right.
So is this the new stand and deliver?
Is this going to be? Is this going to be on the race war list for next year?
I think I'm adding it right now.
Codename The Cleaner. A femme fatale, played by Elizabeth Hurley.
Mm-hmm.
Tricks an amnesiatic janitor, played by Cedric the Entertainer.
Okay, I've seen this trailer.
Into thinking he's an undercover agent embroiled in an international arms ring.
I believe when we saw this trailer, Earl said, this one has to be a hit for him, otherwise his career is over.
There we
Who,
go.
Cedric the Entertainer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we'll just make Barbershop 3.
Yeah.
Okay.
January 12th, Miss Potter, not Harry Potter related at all.
Born into Earl's worst poster list of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Born into a wealthy family, Beatrix Potter. Beatrix, by the way, is a character in Harry Potter, further adding to the confusion.
Yeah, I'm totally baffled on
played
this.
Played by Renee Zellweger. Wiggles free of her eccentric parents, defies the sexist world of academia, and... by the turn of the 20th century, becomes one of the most successful children's book authors of the time. So again,
if it's Renee Zellweger, she pelts her way through the entire damn thing.
So further adding to the Harry Potter confusion with her profession being a children's.
Hot or not hot, Renee Zellweger.
Maybe Monica Potter should
not
have been
hot.
Jared?
That role.
Not hot.
Thank you. Next.
DVD, January 2nd, Artie Lang's Beer League, which I'm sure at least three of us will be seeing just because.
You almost have to say that.
Yeah. Martin, the complete first season, because I want to know exactly where Shanae came from.
Shanae.
I forgot about Shanae.
Snakes on a Plane, which we already bashed earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Extras, the complete first season.
Compert.
And which I do want to see because I never actually
watched it. It's
yet.
A little not as good as The Office. Okay. It has its moments, but
they're releasing Extra on DVD.
Extra.
The Ricky Gervais television series, co-produced by BBC and HBO.
Yeah,
not familiar with
Access Hollywood the first season.
Mm-hmm.
And The Illusionist, which I would really like to see because I heard good things, and I really liked. What was the other magic movie?
Prestige.
The Prestige I really liked, and Illusionist wasn't supposed to be as good, but I still would like to see it.
I'm a big Edward Norton fan.
Yes,
so
me too.
I wanted to see it.
Me too.
Well, it's coming on DVD. That's it, Jared.
Really?
Let's get to something else.
Under the scope.
Jared.
Ah, the famous music where we get to some comments.
We love this part of the show.
This one, we nearly had no comments for this holiday show.
Nearly.
But our friend G Love slipped in under the wire. G Love says, I think Underdog looks horrible.
Thank you.
I'm one of the few, but I actually liked the live action Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Huh?
It really did have similar sensibilities to the original cartoon. Underdog looks like it's going to rank right up there with Garfield. Or should I say down there?
Down there.
Yeah. Transformers! Would the Uber Geeks please get over the flames on Optimus? Move on. At least they look like robots that transform into cars. And by Earl's logic, that would mean don't call it Transformers. Just call it robots that turn into cars. But it's kind of a long title to put on a poster.
Snakes on a Plane.
Yeah, that's true.
Robots in cars.
It doesn't mean that the movie won't suck. It doesn't mean that the movie will suck. How many negatives is that?
Six.
Yeah. There you have it. Fun show, guys. Keep it up.
Of course, G-Love. You're a smart man, and that's all we need to say about that.
If you aspire to be like G-Love and get your comment read on the show by yours truly, you can send that to comments@thescopeshow.com. Very few people partake in that option.
We'll start paying you.
I'm just going to say this right now. We know people listen.
Yeah.
People, we want you to email us to send comments so we can read them every time. Every time you listen to the show, send us a comment. Don't be a pussy.
Yeah. If you just say, hey, great show, guys, whatever. You know, we just like to know that people are listening, that they appreciate what we're doing. If you think we suck, write that too, because we know how to improve then.
We love those emails the best.
Sure.
Because mostly they're about Adam.
Yeah. Wah-wah. You can also visit the website at thescopeshow.com and comment on the blog.
Will there be a new website someday, Jared?
The rumors.
Okay.
We're working on that.
Our sources.
The little worker elves are, we're making them work overtime.
I can't.
We're not
wait.
Paying them, of course. But
never.
Yeah.
Anyway,
what else? So this week's Scope Sounds for Sfrolls. Anyway, that's from the Argyle Pimps from the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. Shane, I'm out of stuff. Take it over.
Thank you, Jared. This has been one of the longest shows we've ever done. I didn't think we could, but we did. And you know what? I don't apologize for it.
No, no. You got to take the time.
This is what we do. We do it great. We do it best. And you know what? You're going to listen and love it. Now, from what I understand, Jared has a special show planned for next week, or next show, rather. Yeah, it was your idea.
Yeah.
We might be taking a look at the winter television schedule.
Yes, there are shows that are returning from hiatus. There are new shows starting. There are shows that didn't quite make it this far. We might want to talk about that. Kind of a midterm report on what the television season is up to.
All television people. This is our area of expertise. We are going to tell you what's good, what's bad, and what you need to do to survive the next...
A state of the television address.
Yeah, state of the television address. It's very exciting. So everybody tune in for that. That will be episode 21, historically passing episode 20. Al, I want to thank you for being here. You did a great job.
I always like to rap about music.
Yes. Stop in any time we invite you.
Close invitation then.
Like Adam that. And Jared, fantastic job as all. Jared, slightly better than Adam this week.
Thank you.
And myself, I did a better job than everyone. So
I'll get you next time, Jared.
As always.
Keep working, guys. You gotta,
also for those stinking kids.
That's exactly it. So this has been Scope episode 20. Thank you for listening. Happy New Year, everyone. And come back to the website. We've got special stuff coming up for 2007. Goodbye.
If you're going to be in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area and would like to participate in a taping of The Scope, send your request to tickets@thescopeshow.com. Please mention in what special way you can contribute to the show.